much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
CBS presents this program in color.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, I dressed down to look less attractive.
Sorry, bud. You look like a friggin' smoke show.
I know. I'm a hot piece of ass. Perfect 10. Mm-hmm. Girls want to bang me and guys want to be me being banged by them.
It's like that movie Ice Castles, where the small town girl with big talent gets cleared into this world of skating competitions, and then she goes blind, and then she has to skate blind, and she does, and then there are all these roses, but she can't see them.
I have broken more Elton John records. He seems to have a lot of records. And we beat, and I, by the way, I don't have a musical instrument. I don't have a guitar or an organ. No organ. Elton has an organ.
And now.
This is a joke.
Because if it is a joke, I just want to say that I get it. I get the joke, and I'm in on it also. And it's hilarious.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 24th of July.
President has an organ, you guys.
Heard that.
No question about that.
Yeah.
Hey, Allie.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
Some of us missed you very much.
I thought we all did.
Well, I don't want to speak for everybody.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, I did.
Okay, so just say you did. I did as well. Some
well,
of us.
That's some of us. That's
it was
you
weird.
And me.
It was weird.
That's an odd thing to
say. Okay. I mean, it was only one day, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
See, Kevin, it was a compliment.
You nope. Tried to, it wasn't. You said some of us. Why would you do that?
Because I said some of us missed you very much.
We did.
I don't pretend to speak for everybody.
Right, but okay. If you're giving someone a compliment, you automatically cut it in half by saying some of us.
Look, I know how people
just
work.
Say we missed you.
Look, I'm great with social interaction.
That is
you
true.
You know that. I know.
You're an expert.
And I'm really good at speaking with ladies.
Okay. Okay. Good news.
Everybody surviving? Everybody's air conditioning working?
Yep.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
What was it at your house yesterday, Kevin?
I don't remember even looking.
Oh, really?
Well, I saw 100, but I don't know.
Yeah.
If
I was
it,
in
I,
your
I don't know if
neck
went
of the
higher.
Woods,
yeah.
And it was 104.
Yeah, that's just BS.
That's
felt,
not okay.
Felt good?
No.
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 I mean, this is right about where your air conditioner should poop out, though,
it
right?
It really does. It's. That's I think they're made that way. I think they're made so that they, if they, when it gets hot, they go out, and then the air conditioning industry cashes in, right?
I mean,
big AC man.
Right? I see where you're going with that, but I think it's more likely that the machine is stressed because it's having to try to do so much more work during
right.
the hottest parts of the.
But
day.
Here's my thing: if you live in a place where it gets that hot, couldn't you build the air conditioner so that it can handle that amount of pressure? And I think they don't on purpose, Bean.
Oh, on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
106 in Japan yesterday. Hottest wet temperature ever recorded in the whole country.
Oof.
Telling wow. you guys, we're going down.
Okay. Well, you're so positive. It's really lifted us up today.
It's terrifying.
Right. That's what I meant.
Terrifying. All right. Let me change topics and give you something you'll love.
Okay.
Her name is Lindsay Dye. She is 30 years old. She lives in Brooklyn, and she is a webcam model. So I already love her. She makes the bulk of her income as a webcam model, and her specialty is, you know, a lot of these webcam models, you wouldn't know, Kevin, but a lot of these webcam models, they have specialties. They have things that they do that are, you know, just for them.
Oh, and you mean like sex
fetishes,
acts or whatever?
Yeah, so whatever it is, whatever you're into, you
okay.
know, cosplay or whatever. And when she first started being a webcam model about 6 years ago, she hadn't quite gotten her persona yet, and she was doing childlike performances, she said, where she would sit on a donkey hopper. You know what that is, a donkey hopper? It's like a little, like a toy horse or something like that that you ride on.
Okay.
Not nearly as terrifying as you thought a donkey hopper could be.
Right.
She was using inflatables and balloons, and she was getting naked in a kiddie pool and things like that. But then somebody made a weird request for her one day in the chat room and said, hey, would you sit on your cat?
Would and you what?
Sit on your cat. And she
literal, like a kitty cat.
Cat, right. Yes, her cat. Because her cat is often in the room with her. So she said, of course not. I'm not going to sit on my cat. That's cruel and inhumane. I'm not going to do that. But she started doing some researching about other things that people sit on. And she found out that there is a group of people out there, maybe large enough to support her, who love to see a pretty woman sit on a cake.
You said sit on a cake.
Yes. She is now a cake sitter. She's got to be one of the best there is. She's got
to be one of the only there is.
She orders her Pillsbury cake mix and by bulk. And it says here that she makes the batter in the bed, which is a term I'm familiar with, but I just don't know. I don't know how you could cook it. I don't know how you can cook a cake. I don't know how that would even work. But she says there's lots of people out there who are really, really into it. And she prepares the cake in front of the webcam audience, and she gets feedback on them and what kinds of colors that she should use, what kind of frosting, what kind of decoration she can put on the cake, all leading up to the point where she sits on it.
How do you get to the point where you realize, you know what I might like? A woman sitting on a cake. That's
odd. I
don't
know the answer to that.
Because there had to be someone first in the world that said, cake.
Yeah.
There is
sit on it.
There's somebody out there for everybody, that's for sure. She was asked what kind of people are fans of cake sitting. She says there's no specific person who likes it. It's an everybody thing because everybody has a connection to cake. Everybody has a personal experience with cake. Everybody has had their own cake.
But she's ruining my cake.
I know.
Right?
That's what I keep thinking. It sounds like a waste of cake.
Right.
Which is a fantastic food. One of my five favorites.
Correct.
She also does live shows, by the way, if we're looking for some more entertainment for, you know, the singles party or something. She says, when I go out and perform in real life, it's just in and out. I feel like a superhero. The art happens when I'm out. But in the chat room, there's a long buildup. There's a lot more communication about it and interaction with my audience.
Is that one of those things where they pay by the minute, so she stretches it out as long as she can?
I don't know.
That, right?
Probably.
Or it's a membership kind of deal,
oh, that
maybe.
Could be.
Yeah, I don't. I do not know what her specifics are on that, but she says...
How much do you have to pay, B?
Doesn't say. Hmm. Doesn't say here.
No, I said you.
I haven't tried it because, again, waste of cake.
Okay.
She said when she first started, she thought that cake sitting might be fleeting, so she started researching other foods, and then she decided to try pizza. But it was not the same effect, she said, because pizza is already flat. And, you know, she said, maybe I should have used a deep dish or Sicilian, but she thinks pie is better because it has a lot more, a lot better effect when you smash it because cake goes everywhere.
Okay. I have a lot of questions. So when she sits on a cake or a pie.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't say anything about pie here, man.
You maybe just said that.
No.
Oh.
Pizza. We were talking about pizza.
Oh, maybe you meant pizza pie. All right. So anyway, when you sit on a cake, is that act the act? Or then she turns around and shows you the goods?
She does. It does say that there's some nudity in the act. And I'm not 100% sure how far that goes. She does appear to be by herself, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the cake is the centerpiece of the day, I think.
Wow. Is it frosting? Is there frosting on the cake or is it just cake?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful – the cakes I see here in the article are beautiful cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
She says, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? She says, look, I work with what I've got. And like many women my entire life, I've been objectified. My body is talked about so much. So I figured, hey, I'll use it for my job. That's what I've got. But if I weren't cake sitting, I would be doing stand-up comedy.
What?
She says, I refer to cake sitting as sit-down comedy.
Oh, so, wow.
So she loves it. So if there was somebody listening who was thinking, oh, I wish there was a way I could find a lady on the internet to sit on a cake for me. Boom. Lindsay Dye. She's your gal.
That's so bizarre.
It is. I would not have expected that, but there it is.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We would like someone with integrity. Someone that people can trust. Someone with gravitas.
Not available? Rebecca Ferguson will join us from Mission Impossible Fallout. Can't wait for that. Comes out on Friday.
She's a really talented actress.
She is, yeah.
Did you see Life? Did you see the movie Life that she was in with Jake Gyllenhaal where she was in space?
This is going to crack you up because that's such a specific explanation, but I don't remember.
Okay. All right. Back to you.
We have Tara Strong, who, of course, is in Teen Titans Go to the movies. We have my interview with RZA at Comic-Con.
Oh.
Plus, Stryker left me a voicemail when I was at Comic-Con as well.
About RZA?
No. There was a picture somebody took of me playing Ms. Pac-Man.
Sure.
And he just went crazy. You know what I love? I love this Pac-Man. And he just goes crazy. You know, Stryker's insane. We're going to play some more clips of the R. Kelly song, I admit. You didn't hear any of this yesterday, Allie.
No, I don't feel any need to listen
it's
to him.
It's 19 mm-hmm. minutes long.
That's weird. I think it would be like 13 or 14.
Our hip-hop correspondent Jensen Karp will be here to help us look through that. We've got animal stories on today's show. We've got Cheers with Beer Mugs. And Kevin and Bean's Built This Pool singles party. We have your tickets just after 7 o'clock. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
A lot of applause this right? hour of the morning, huh?
Right.
1 hour from right now, we're going to be looking for you and a bunch of your friends. These are four packs of Kevin and Bean's singles party tickets that we're giving away for the Built This Pool party coming up in Las Vegas the weekend after next. So if you want to go to Las Vegas with us, stand by. We'll give you some details on the way and give you a chance to win in an hour from right now on K-Rock. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
What if Lindsay Lohan was your boss?
No, thank you.
Yeah. So Lindsay, she's 32. She's had some rough times. She's turning her life around, right? She recently opened Lohan Beach House. It's a VIP resort with locations in Mykonos and in Rhodes, Greece. And it's now going to be the subject of a new MTV reality show that begins shooting there in August. None of this sounds good.
No, thank you.
But like any good business owner, she's already ensuring that not a single detail is out of place. So somebody posted an Instagram photo to the Lohan Beach House account with two of the venue's waitresses showing off their new uniforms. However, an eagle eye Lohan noticed those two were wearing two different shoes.
Oh.
So,
did she fire them?
Well, one of the staffers was wearing a pair of white platform sandals. The other opted for a nude sandal. So Lindsay commented on the photo, "Wear the same shoes, please." And then moments later, "Or you're fired."
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So people were like, "Wait a minute." And one person wrote, "Please tell me you're joking. This can't be real." And she wrote, "Totally serious." Underneath.
Wouldn't you expect that from her?
Yes, 100%.
But still, when it happens, it's probably shocking.
And instead of, you know, putting a call out maybe to these girls' managers, maybe even calling them yourself.
Sure.
Just posting it on Instagram so everyone can see it.
That's how to run a business.
Yeah.
I like it.
Wear the same shoes, please. Moments later, or you're fired.
Oh, Lindsay!
Lindsay!
Lindsay Lohan!
Right. So Mac Miller did an interview with Beats 1 Zane Lowe. Mm-hmm. You know that
mm-hmm.
tune?
Yep. Sure.
And he was talking about the breakup with Ariana Grande. And not a lot was said. He just said, "Life is stressful. I was in love with somebody. Then it came to an end. We both moved on." And it's that simple, you know? But then he brought up how people keep reaching out to him because he's just not posting as much on the internet. And people are asking, "Are you okay? Is everything okay?" To which he responds, and this makes sense to me. He said, "I don't know. It just all seems kind of unimportant. The need to show people I was okay. Like, what is that? Where does that come from? Why? Why do you have this need to use social media and the internet?" Amen, Mac Miller. Which makes this even stranger. Pete Davidson has wiped all of his photos and videos from his account yesterday. The same day that Mac Miller wound up saying all of this.
Okay.
So he then had to write, "No, there's nothing wrong. Nothing happened. There's nothing cryptic about anything. I just don't want to be on Instagram anymore or any social media platform. The internet is an evil place and it doesn't make me feel good. Why should I spend any time on negative energy when my real life is effing lit?" Which, again, that makes total sense. Just very strange timing that his girlfriend's ex says that basically people that feel the need to show everything. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? It's a bit weird.
It is a bit weird,
It is a bit weird. Ryan Lochte, did you hear about this yesterday?
Oh, this is the best.
So he's been suspended from swimming in competitions until July of 2019 for violating the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency rules. So in May, he wound up posting on Instagram again, getting in trouble on social media, him receiving an IV treatment. which turns out to violate a rule that, quote, prohibits IV infusions or injections in a volume greater than 100 milliliters within a 12-hour period. Wasn't even a banned substance. Wasn't anything that could get him in trouble.
That's so weird.
No one would ever have even known about this, but he felt the need to post it on the internet.
I mean,
dumbass!
I assume he was 100% sure there was nothing there. Right? Otherwise, he wouldn't post.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It just, it violates the rule that you can't do it within a 12-hour period. It could have been something as simple as just some vitamin that his body needed.
Right.
Just, wow. It's like that guy should just not do anything. How's that?
I like it.
You like that
one? It's a good solution.
I think it's stupid.
Right?
Okay. I agree. We're going to talk all about how stars get free stuff that they don't deserve, that people like you and I should get, like free chips and guac from Chipotle for life.
Whoa.
I feel like...
That's pretty good.
People like you and me.
Right.
Chip. I mean, it's right there in her name, right? Chip. But no, it's going to stars. Mm. And by stars, Cardi B. I'll have that story in just a bit, even though really that's the whole story. And I'm just angry. I'm just angry about it. Some birthdays for you. Gus Van Sant, Anna Paquin, Linda Carter, Bindi Irwin, Jennifer Lopez, Michael Richards, Kristen Chenoweth, Rose Byrne, Elizabeth Moss. And that's what's happening.
Jumpsuit is what that's called, by the way. Would not have ever expected a song named Jumpsuit to be written and recorded, but there it is from 21 Pilots from their forthcoming album called Trench. It is Tuesday morning. Time for animal stories.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for... Let's find out what they're up to.
A lot of animals in the news again this week. It doesn't always end well for the humans that interact with them. I'm warning you.
Oh, great.
Kind of a brutal when animals attack edition today.
Great.
But we will
That'll cheer us all up.
We'll start with something fun, a little bit of a palate cleanser here. And this is Matt Harden is a man who put a post up on the internet of his little dog, Riley. And here's what it says. Is it just me, or does it sound like Riley is singing Toxic by Britney Spears? Let's hear some Riley. All right. That's the entire clip. It's 3 seconds long. It has been viewed already more than 5 million times. Now let's see what Riley sounds like when you put him together with the Britney song.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean...
Nailing it.
The dog loves Britney Spears.
Riley.
He does. He is right on. That's awesome. Is that great or what?
That's awesome.
All right. Now prepare to get sad.
Okay, great.
Here's a Tarkington, Texas man. Kevin, this is going to be your world's worst nightmare here.
Okay.
He's 81 years old. He runs a roadside vegetable stand, and he's out plowing a field there in Texas. When he was attacked by bees, he says he was running his bulldozer, helping his cousin clear a right-of-way for a fence, and all of a sudden he saw a black cloud of bees surrounding him. He jumped off the bulldozer, left it running, took off through the woods, trying to make his way to a lake that he had dug on the property. He was stung more than 1,000 times.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
With bees stinging every part of his body, including his face and eyes.
Oh, man, they stung his eyes?
They did. He ran toward the direction of the lake, unable to clearly see where he was going.
He ran toward what he thought was the direction of the lake.
Right. I said, Lord, help me. When I fell down trying to get out of the bees, he said to me, walk by faith. So I did. Look, I sometimes mock true believers.
Right.
But if believing in the Lord gets you through being stung by 1,000 bees in the moment, more power to you, my friend. I jumped into the pond, but I could still hear the bees under the water.
Oh, what?
That's when he discovered that some of the bees had burrowed into his ear canals.
Okay. Oh, my God. Why are you doing this?
Causing one eardrum to burst.
You said you had hundreds of stories a couple days ago. Use some of those.
His wife of 57 years, Mary, was on the road waiting for her husband. She did not immediately recognize him as he ran toward the vehicle. Oh. I couldn't tell it was him right away. But they got him to the hospital in nearby Cleveland. She says God had Cleveland Emergency Hospital ready for it. I just know it. He says they gave me a lot of Benadryl. I don't remember much after that, but my heart seemed to settle down and I was okay. The nurses, by the way, had to remove painstakingly, one by one, all 1,000-plus stingers from the bees.
That is not good.
Looks like he's going to be fine, by the way. Police call it a botched case of rattlesnake revenge. This is also in Texas. These are two men who live in RVs next to each other. They ran into some sort of a controversy, some sort of an argument, and one of them, Ryan Sauter, decided that he was going to show his next-door neighbor, Keith Monroe, what's up. He caught a rattlesnake, and with his teeth, he bit off the rattler so that when he put it into his neighbor's RV, his neighbor wouldn't be able to hear the snake because he didn't have a rattler.
Are you kidding?
The plan was that he was going to try to put a snake in the RV of his neighbor, hoping that that snake would then bite his neighbor.
Did he not have a knife? Why did he bite it off?
I don't know.
That's insane.
I think you use what you've got, Kevin.
What?
That's what he had.
Well, bring a knife.
Well, he brought a snake to a knife fight.
So weird.
The neighbor said, I freaked out. I just couldn't believe it happened. But the neighbor was not bitten by the snake. He used a machete to kill the snake, then called the sheriff's deputy, and his neighbor was arrested. That is, you don't usually see a man bites snake story. That is not something you see very common. Here's one that many of the Kevin and Bean listeners were actually happy about. Did you hear about the poachers in South Africa who were eaten by lions?
Yeah.
I didn't, but I love that.
They were out there.
Poachers are the worst.
They are the worst.
Yep.
They were out there at the Sibuya Game Reserve, and they went out there with all of their tools, high-powered rifles, silencers, axes, wire cutters, and their plan was that they were going to shoot and kill rhinos and saw off their horns, which is just a despicable thing to do. Despicable. Early the next morning, an anti-poaching dog on patrol gave its handler a warning that something was amiss, and then they found all the bodies. There was a skull found in the area, as well as half a pelvis. Very little was left, and it was determined that, yes, it was lions who took down the poachers.
Holy crap.
It seems like, and you'll be interested in this, Kevin, because you've been to Africa on these safaris, it seems like the lions are fine with the vehicles, the motorized vehicles that go through the reserve. They're used to those.
Yeah, they are.
But these poachers were on foot, and that, they think, is what tipped the lions off to this was something different and may have involved food. Asked why the lions would attack, he said they are opportunists. They will go after anything they see, even if they've just had a meal. Whether they were hungry or not, that is not necessarily the point. If you stumble upon them and don't act the right way, they will see you as prey. And when you run, they will chase you.
Plus, poachers are the worst. Right.
Poachers are the worst.
What a bummer, though. Half a pelvis? Like, I'd be bummed that my pelvis wasn't tasty. Wouldn't you?
I mean, at that point, you're not alive.
Oh, no.
So I don't think you would have a thought on that.
That's a good point.
Allie, if it helps, I've heard your pelvis is tasty.
Thank you, Bean.
Ricky Gervais had the best line on this, though. Rest in pieces is what he said.
Oh.
And finally, this is in the Leave Animals Alone. Look. We have all come across, many of us have come across an injured animal and wanted to help. You've seen a baby bird who can't fly, or you've seen, you know, an animal out in the wild that looks like it needs your help. It's a doe that's separated from us, you know, from its parents or something like that. This is a story in Weld County, Colorado. A wildlife rescue attempt. A woman found a baby raccoon that looked like it had been abandoned on her property, and she decided she was going to take it inside her home. Unfortunately, the baby raccoon tested positive for rabies, and thanks to her, she had exposed 21 other people to the baby raccoon.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't say how so many people came in contact with it, but I'm sure it was, you're not going to believe it. I've got a baby raccoon living in my house.
Come look.
Come look. So the next thing you know, they're all getting those painful anti-rabies shots as a result of it. According to the executive director of the Weld County Health Department, this year has seen a high number of rabies exposures in animals. The public is advised not to go near or touch wild animals. We're not just seeing typical skunk or bat rabies this time of year. We're very concerned about the growing number of cases among other animals such as raccoons or cats. So that's the advice here from the Kevin and Bean Show. According to the County Health Department, do not feed, touch, or handle wild animals and leave baby animals alone even if they appear orphaned. I know that's hard to do, but bad things happen when you bring wild animals into your house. And that is Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
Have you seen the new summer sticker?
Nice.
With gorillas? Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Love it so much. You can get them at the they're limited edition. You can get them at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. And you can win a secret show with the gorillas with 50 of your friends and a car.
Come on.
Seems like too much for one winner.
Omar was saying yesterday, Allie, that there's no way in a million years he could come up with 50 people to invite to this gorilla show if he won. And I know I couldn't. How about you?
I could.
I could too.
Yeah.
50 people? That's a lot of people.
Well, I mean, they're not going to all be your best friend.
Right.
Uh-huh. But you're just friends with a lot of people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, if you say so.
Yes.
So it's a 2019 Honda Fit, the intimate show with gorillas, and a $500 Hot Topic gift card. All you have to do is swing by whatever Hot Topic location is nearby to you and pick up the limited edition K-Rock Gorilla sticker. By the way, Muggs is here. Muggs, are you going to be doing the Hot Topics again this time for the sticker?
Starting tomorrow at the Irvine Spectrum Hot Topic at 1 o'clock.
Check you out.
Yes, sir.
So Muggs will be out there live in person. Not only do you get your sticker with him, but you can also score tickets to see Gorillaz at Demon Days, Cal Jam, and lots of other K-Rock cool prizes. Get all the details at K-Rock.com.
All right, Muggs.
Yo!
Went back to his bar and did Cheers with Muggs.
Did Muggs ever leave his bar? You sure
it's
he went back?
Question. That's a good question.
I have a tent set up outside.
Now, where did this topic come from? Why did you ask them about the side hustle? Where'd it come from?
Actually, Omar and I, DJ Omar Khan and I, were brainstorming about what would be a good topic to do next. And, you know, since with the advent of all these extra side hustle gigs like Uber and Lyft and all that other things, DoorDash, I wanted to find out what people were doing other than those things to make extra money today.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people who have second jobs.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes a lot of sense. So it's time for Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh.
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
Right? That's a good question, first of all.
What is the what's the bar again, Muggs?
This is O'Grady's in Granada Hills, California.
The people that I've been hearing over the past few months that you've been doing this segment, I'm surprised they have a job, much less
correct,
a side hustle.
They actually stay at the bar as well. They don't leave. All right, Jimmy. Jimmy, what's a good way to make extra money on a side hustle?
On Sunset and the 405, you can stand out there with a sign. Make a lot of side money right there. Let me tell you. They make party bank. Do all those rich people out there?
I actually did that once. I stood in the middle of the road for an hour with a sign and made about $14.13. More than minimum wage at the time.
You weren't a very good panhandler.
We're here with Veronica. Veronica, what's a good way to make money on a side hustle? What's a good side hustle?
Love, love, love you, baby. Love you, baby. Love you, baby.
Wow. Take my money now. I'm here with Jim. Jim, what is a good way to make a little extra cash these days? A good side hustle?
It's probably Uber or Lyft or dealing drugs legit. So you kind of cut out that tax thing with the weed now, and then yeah, that's pretty legit. That's a good side hustle. And also selling organs and blood.
I'm sorry.
And plasma and other bodily fluids. That works.
Monty, how you doing, buddy?
Doing all right, my man.
What you drinking?
Having a Samuel Adams, I think. But a Blue Moon wouldn't be bad either.
Monty, I gotta ask you, you know, everybody trying to make a little extra cash nowadays with some side hustles. What would you recommend be a good one?
Oh, man. Oh, if you only knew what I was thinking right now.
Tell me what you're thinking, babe.
No, I can't say it.
Say it.
Trouble. No, okay.
Do it!
No.
The Kevin and Bean K-Rock audience want to hear what your recommendation is.
Okay, okay. Find the niche. Find the niche. A little small thing, man. You can make it happen. There's a genius in every son of a gun out in that son of a bitch.
So you can find a way. Everybody can find a way.
So freaking Lulu, man. Yeah.
Bean, your guess as to what Monty looks like. Because I asked Muggs yesterday, and my impression was 1,000% wrong.
I mean, Muggs has told us in the past that he is younger than we think he is.
Right.
But he sounds like, you know, just a bald with gray hair on the side, no. Kind of overweight kind of guy.
I was picturing Tommy Chong. That was sort of my guess.
Oh, sure. I could see that, too.
Yeah.
Muggs? What's he look like, Muggs?
He just turned 22 a week ago.
He did not turn 22.
Come on.
You're lying.
No, tell him what he looks like.
He's rail thin, and I got to say he's in his late 40s.
He sounds much older than that.
Height?
About 5'7".
Okay. Is this Tinder?
I'm trying to decide which way to swipe.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. We have Kevin and Bean Built This Party singles tickets coming up just after the top of the hour. So we're going to Las Vegas a week from Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Have that right? Yes?
Yes.
You get on the party bus. You go to Vegas. It's 2 days at Planet Hollywood. We've got one singles party. We're trying to add a second. And it's going to be really a good time. So we are going to do Vegas redos. Vegas redos. So you went to Vegas, you had high hopes, and it was a disaster.
So we're opening up the phones right now for this.
Yes.
Then. Okay. So, Allie, you don't do your thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So, yeah, here's the deal. Everybody's excited about going to Las Vegas. And then you go, and it just doesn't work out. Either you lose your shirt or some other disaster happens while you're there because, you know, people tend to overdo it sometimes in Las Vegas.
Only occasionally.
It gets out of control.
Yeah.
Kevin, you've had a few weekends you regret in Las Vegas.
A few.
So this is what we're looking for. We're looking 20. For your chance to make it up to yourself by going to the Kevin and Bean Built This Pool Singles Party, because this is going to be a great trip. Round trip transportation on the Kevin and Bean Party Bus. 2-night hotel stay at the newly renovated Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Then you get the pool party at the Scene on the rooftop at the Planet Hollywood. And it's with the Kevin and Bean Show, too. And you might just meet somebody for a hookup or for life. You don't know.
So we're looking for guys or girls that are 21 or over at 1-800-520-1067. Yesterday we did specifically girls and then specifically guys. This is for both.
And the cool thing about this is it's you and not just a friend, it's you and three friends. So it's a four pack of tickets for the Kevin and Bean Built This Pool Singles Party. So tell us about your bad experience in Las Vegas, and somebody's going to get a good one coming up in a couple of weekends. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Tuesday morning, Allie's here. Time for another look at what's happening.
Well, Cardi B is never going to pay for chips and guac from Chipotle again.
Okay.
She received a special gift from the fast food chain in the form of a briefcase filled to the brim with free vouchers of chips and guac. Here's the thing. Chipotle's PR person told Us Weekly that the present was a response to Cardi B's rap in the J-Lo song Dinero, where she freestyles about wanting chips, guac, and queso. So they decided, you know what? She wants chips, guac, and queso. It resonated with us.
Okay.
Let's give her a ton of vouchers so she never has to pay for it again.
I want that stuff, too.
I want that, too. Right? I feel like maybe we should rap.
Time to get on it.
That's
time to freestyle, you guys.
We need to just come up with... I don't know if we freestyle. I think that... Let's save that for,
I don't know that we
professionals.
Rap.
I feel like if somebody wrote it...
Jensen Karp, who's going to be here in 15 minutes.
Sure. If Jensen wrote it and then maybe gave us a little bit of... instruction.
Sure.
Maybe we could rap about things that we really want.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the hopes of them listening, them hearing it, and then giving it to us. Doesn't have to be chips and queso.
Right. It could be a car.
Could be a Bentley.
Right. A Bentley.
Could be anything that you want.
Sure.
Like for you, it could be arc light, like a specific seat at your theater.
Just reserved for me?
Yes.
I like it.
Could be strawberry ice cream.
Ice cream and Ambien. Right? Could be all those things. I'm just saying, let's think about this.
I like it.
Except for the rapping part, it sounds great.
Oh, come on. That's the biggest part. Remember former MTV VJ Jesse Camp?
Yeah, super skinny guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has gone missing. A spokesperson...
Hasn't he been missing for 20 years?
Boom!
Oh, dear. But he's legit missing. Yeah, and his family and friends really want him back. But here's the weird thing. Riverside City police tell The Blast that a friend of Jesse's called his phone last week only to be told by a person who answered it that he had given him his phone and clothes. Then his sister called police and filed a missing persons report, and it said that he was stopped by police in Fontana, California, the same day he was reported missing.
Oh, wow.
Apparently in front of a Sherwin-Williams, which is a common spot for transients and homeless people. But he was let go after officers performed a spot check. But nobody's heard from him. He usually checks in with his mother by phone, and nobody has heard from him at all. He hasn't contacted her since July 11th or 12th. So
that's not good.
They are very concerned as to where he could possibly be. So keep a lookout for MTV former DJ, BJ, I guess, Jesse Camp. And have you heard about Kathy Griffin's, I don't want to say situation, because it seems like so much more, with her neighbors? She's been feuding with them for years. Her neighbors just to the side of her house, Sandra and Jeffrey Metzger. He's apparently the CEO of KB Homes. They have now slapped Griffin and her boyfriend, Randy Bick, with an invasion of privacy suit. The couple claims that Griffin and Bick illegally captured hundreds of hours of audio and video from their backyard, and they are asking for damages and $5,000 per instance of being recorded.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm sorry. Who's taping who?
Apparently, Kathy is taping the neighbors.
Why? What are they doing that's upsetting her so much?
A bunch of sound issues. The neighbor, I don't know if you remember last year, it was like September-ish, where he was caught on recording calling her a bald D-word, which is derogatory for lesbians.
Okay. He also said that about Kathy Griffin?
About Kathy.
Okay.
Just really...
it seems ugly.
Ugly, ugly things that this man, who is, again, CEO of KB Homes, saying. So she recorded it. But here's the thing. My friend went to her show this past weekend, and she plays the audio during the show.
Wow.
So I imagine he got wind of that and is now like, hold on a minute. I got to sue her for this now. So kind of an ugly situation when it's your immediate neighbor.
Yeah, no kidding.
And bad, bad situation. But they've been having problems for years. But now he is suing her for this. I think he even tried, they tried to get a restraining order against her, which is kind of hard when they're your next door neighbor.
Yeah, because it isn't a certain amount of feet or something?
Yeah.
And don't you live closer than that for the most part?
You would think. Huh. Yeah.
Someone needs to move you guys.
Right. Agreed.
I mean, he's the CEO of KB Homes. You could find another house, right?
Right.
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying. If my neighbor is saying that I'm a bald D-word and all sorts of other stuff, and I have the opportunity during my comedy show to make fun of him and play that audio.
Right.
I'm going to make fun of him and play that audio.
Right.
Thank you, everybody. Just saying. Maybe don't be a dick. And then I won't have to record you being a dick.
You're not recording anyone. This is Kathy Griffin.
Play him being a dick. Oh, right. This is Kathy Griffin.
Yes,
doing
this is
it,
not you.
Me?
Right.
Okay. I just record those damn birds.
Right.
God damn it. Some birthdays for you. TV's Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, Gus Van Sant, My Own Private Idaho, Drugstore Cowboy, Good Will Hunting.
So good.
Talented dude, right? Jennifer Lopez, actress, singer, dancer, although unbelievable in Shades of Blue. Am I right, Bean?
She is great. She really is.
Extraordinarily realistic New York City police officer.
She also did say in the media a couple of days ago, I think it was on Sunday, that, that this is her birthday week.
Oh, she's one
Not
of those.
Just her birthday.
Respect it. I like it.
Yeah.
From The West Wing, Ugly Betty, and one of the best shows ever, Pushing Daisies, Kristen Chenoweth, Rose Byrne from Bridesmaids, Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale and Mad Men, and Lakers forward, Kyle Kuzma. Is that him?
Sure.
That's what's happening.
Hit it, Steve. I want to see some naked
dudes. Right?
I mean, it doesn't have to just be naked dudes.
Right.
That's what we're saying. The Kevin and Bean Built This Pool Singles Party is on, you guys. A week from Friday, we're going to be at the scene on the rooftop of Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino with you. Lots of singles taking the party bus there, staying at the newly renovated Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. So the concept here is you had a terrible trip to Las Vegas once upon a time.
Yes.
Now it's time for sweet redemption.
Vegas redo.
Vegas redo, right? So we're looking for you to bring three single friends, and we'll all get together for the party. And I think my understanding is we have two packages, I should say, of four packs here to give away, Kevin.
All right.
So let's see who's first.
First is Desiree from Glendora. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good, thank you.
Desiree, what went wrong in Las Vegas?
He pooped in the shower.
Wait.
I mean...
What?
I like that you got right to the point, though.
Who pooped?
I went to Vegas with a guy I was seeing a while back, and he got crazy drunk, had to walk him back to the hotel and take care of him. Next morning, I woke up, went in the bathroom.
Oh, man.
I could smell something.
Okay. That's
good morning.
That is not what you want.
Oh, dear.
We don't need details. No, we got it. We understand. Was that the end of that relationship that weekend?
I mean, he was a friend for a little bit, but I never told him.
You never told him that he did it?
No, I felt bad. It's embarrassing.
Oh, what a
you're so nice.
You are. Okay.
What's his name?
First and last.
And where does he work? All right, Desiree, great story. You hold on, please. I feel pretty good about Desiree's chances, though. That's a terrible weekend right there.
She seems so kind, too.
She does.
Yes. Chip thinks that's because it was her.
Oh, really? Conspiracy Chip.
Well, let's go to Eddie in Los Angeles. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, good morning, party people.
We are looking for Vegas redos. What happened to you?
So about a year ago, my buddy and I went to rehab, a pool party in the Hard Rock. We take some shots inside the room. We ended up going to the actual pool party. He got completely hammered, ended up throwing up in the pool.
Oh, come on.
They escorted everyone out of the pool. They started to escort him out, and I was trying to look for him, and at the end, I found him in the front getting arrested for peeing in public. So I spend the rest of my day basically calling, the local and finding out if he was okay, if he was going to get out. I ended up picking him up from the station the following day, so I didn't do anything that night. But
there's a lot of bodily functions going on in this segment today, right?
It's a little scary.
All right, so friend with vomit and pee in the pool. Okay, you please hold on, Eddie. Let's try Adam up next, HB, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam, welcome. Talking about Vegas redos, what went wrong for you?
So this was a spring break trip to Vegas for a friend's 21st birthday. We were staying at the Mirage.
Okay.
Being spring break, they're collecting deposits from everybody, putting them on credit cards. We were there for 5 days. First of all, too long to be in Vegas. Way too long.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Night before we leave, we're out celebrating. It was the opening of the Beatles' Love at the Mirage.
Yep.
That year. So, margarita special. My buddy Alex, it's his birthday. He's drinking strawberry margaritas all night, partying hard. We were up till maybe 4. Checkout, of course, is at 11:30. 11:15, I go over there to go check on him. I go into the room. There is strawberry margarita on the ceiling, on the walls, all over the bed. It looked like a murder scene. I could not believe he threw up this much margarita stuff.
Wow.
We had 15 minutes to go to check out.
That guy's like my brother. So,
when you throw up on the ceiling, man.
Right?
That's projectile.
I could not. I thought he murdered our friend that was staying in his room with
him. Sure. Understandable.
Now, Adam, if you won, would you be able to bring him so he could meet Kevin?
No.
I would invite him. He lives in Indiana. So
good man.
All right.
We'll see.
Good man. One comment for sure. All right. Thank you. By the way, are any of these stories about bad Las Vegas weekends, are there any that don't involve somebody getting really, really drunk?
Not so far.
Because I thought there'd be, I don't know, unrelated to drinking, there might be some car accidents or some scams or some, getting left behind or something like that, but it's
You're
all...
You're in a tub without a kidney?
Yeah, that's something like that, right? But, all right, let's see. We have another drinker on the line?
Sure. They're all drinkers. Hey, Remy in Ventura.
Hey, party people. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you. Vegas redo. Why?
Hey, so this was supposed to be the best, most awesome Vegas weekend because my cousin's he's a pretty big DJ, and he got us in to go see Major Lazer at the Wynn Hotel. So we got backstage access and all that good stuff. Well, I got extremely drunk, and I got in a big argument with my cousin backstage, and I got kicked out of the hotel. And the and after that, I was walking around Vegas for a little bit because my I was just so upset, and it was just really late. Well, I ended up just kind of leaning up against the wall, and I fell asleep. Well, the worst part is we were leaving the next morning. So my phone battery died, and we were supposed to leave like at 10, and I didn't wake up till about noon, and those guys left without me.
They did the right thing. You know that, right?
Yeah, there you go. Man, I totally blew it. It was supposed to be great, and I totally blew it, and I missed my chance to have the best weekend ever in Vegas.
Get left behind. Boy. Wow. Sad and sad in Las Vegas are two different things, aren't they? All right. Well done. Good story, sir. Appreciate that. We got time for a couple more. How about Riverside's Madeline up next to the Kevin Devine Show?
Hey, Madeline.
Hi. Unlike everyone else's story, I was not intoxicated.
Come on. Okay. All right. Well, then you're not our kind of person.
We were hanging out in our hotel room, and some drunk guy was pretty sure that our room was his hotel room.
Oh, no.
Aggressively banging on the door. We called security, and we're just going to wait it out. But some of our other friends came back, and they were in the hallway arguing with him. So I had to open the door, and he rushed in, ran into my friend. She hit her head. I ended up having to put him in a chokehold on the bathroom floor.
Nice. Look at Madeline.
My head.
Madeline's regulating. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got my girls back.
All right, Wonder Woman, you hang on. Let's do one more. Let's make it Whitney and Downey. Oh, did we just lose
her? Yep, we just lost her.
Oh, we lost her. All right, how about Joe in L.A. then, line 7?
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, so I was in Vegas on my birthday this year, actually. And, you know, I met a girl in... got pretty hammered, and then we went back to my hotel, and she said she needed to use the restroom. Once, you know, I let her use the restroom, I went to my bed, I was like, yes, finally. 10 minutes passed, 15 minutes passed, and I was like, okay, she's dead, so I went to knock on the door, and she's like, yeah, I'm okay, and then I was like, okay, went back to the bed, and after 30 minutes, I actually went inside, found her on the restroom, throwing up everywhere, and I'm like, holy crap. So I got her naked, threw her in the tub, went to get security, and I told her, look, I found a drunk girl in the elevator. She went to use the restroom, so I brought her to the room to use the restroom. And then she threw it over my inside of the bathroom, and she's like, well, they caught her friend, and they found her because they were staying in the same hotel. Got her friends to clean up the mess, and then the security came with a wheelchair and wheeled her out, and I was like, God damn it.
I lost track of this story like 4 minutes ago. I gotta be honest, there was a lot going on in that story, Joseph.
All right, hang on, sir. That's a good batch of fun people right there.
How do you pick?
I think we all love Desiree, right?
Mm-hmm. Guy pooped in the shower, yes.
Yeah, she's very sweet. She didn't even tell him, by the way. Now we run into a tough spot here, though. I liked Madeline very much with the, you know, with the chokehold. I like that. I thought Eddie's story was real good too. I mean, who do you guys like? If we can pick a dude, who do you like?
If we could pick a dude, who do we like?
Remy, of course, overslept, got left behind in Las Vegas. That's a bad weekend to try to get out of your mind.
Yeah. Hmm. I guess so.
What do you think, Allie?
I don't know.
It's tough to pick.
Would Eddie bring his friend that peed in the pool? Because Adam's not going to bring his friend that threw up red margarita everywhere.
Well, do you want to check and make sure?
Yeah.
Because I don't want him to bring him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, ask Eddie.
Okay. Hey, Eddie.
Oh, no, I'm not bringing him.
All right. That's the answer.
Okay.
All right. You're coming with us. You and three friends and Desiree and three friends as well. It's a week from Friday. It's Kevin and Bean's Built This Pool Singles.
We got two terrific guests on the program coming up later on today. Tara Strong is going to be here. She is, well, I mean, she's everything from My Little Pony to Powerpuff Girls. And she's also one of the great voices in Teen Titans Go to the Movies. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. And then Rebecca Ferguson from the new Mission Impossible film at 9. By the way, that's not to look past our friend Jensen Karp, who just joins us.
Right?
Hey, guys, I admit it. I'm here.
You admit it.
I do.
Jensen, this was a, and you are a hip-hop correspondent, and this was a surprise to us when we woke up and saw that R. Kelly had a new song out of the blue.
19 minutes long, which is what every good song is.
19 minutes long. And I'm just trying to figure out, did he just wake up recently and said, I got a lot of stuff I got to get off my chest? He just was tired of being challenged all the time, and he felt like he had to fight back? Or what's your read on what the point is of this thing?
Well, the idea is that for the past over a decade, he has been basically maligned and beaten and told he is a pedophile.
Right.
Which is not something you necessarily are chill with.
Right. But it was... All of that was based on a lot of his behavior, correct?
Absolutely. He married Aaliyah when she was 15.
Right? Okay, so...
Her parents ended up having to have it annulled. On top of that, he's had suit after suit filed against him. And then recently, it was said that he was running what is considered a cult of women that he doesn't feed or give enough water to. It's a crazy story, and it seems to be ringing true.
Wow. So he releases this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's called I Admit.
And it's awful. And it's awful.
Oh, it's awful, sure.
It's 19 minutes long. Uh-huh. It doesn't really admit anything. Am I alone in thinking that?
No, he hits on certain topics, but he doesn't apologize for any of it.
No, he mostly just admits that he's dyslexic.
Yeah.
He also admits that he has some of the greatest songs of all time.
Sure.
He admits almost nothing in the song regarding, he says he's been with old women and young women, but what defines pedophile? And I'm like, dude, I could clearly do that for you if
age.
You need me to. Yeah, it's just if they're under 18, it's just math.
Right.
It's not a hot track. There's nothing good about it, and we should have canceled R. Kelly years ago. This shouldn't even be a thing.
So I like it that he did a 19-minute song called I Admit where he admits nothing.
Almost nothing
How
at
long
all.
Do you think the song would have to be for him to get to admitting stuff?
I have a pitch for him.
Okay.
Okay, it just goes like this. I admit I'm a pedophile. And then the song ends. And then it's just 3 seconds long. It's a hot song.
Shortest song ever.
And then, sadly, he would still have fans.
Yeah. No, yes. It does seem like... Yeah. Because he debuted this song live on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So the way all of us hot rappers and musicians release stuff. Because, you know, Spotify won't put his music up anymore.
Really?
Yeah. He's been pretty much taken off of all streaming devices.
I didn't know that. And I was wondering how he continues to be successful with all of these kinds of charges hanging over him.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, there's the longstanding argument about separating the art from the artist. And I think R. Kelly is so popular, like Michael Jackson was, that his fans love his music so much they are willing to ignore everything that's going on in his personal life.
Or elect him president. You know, that's sort of the thing that we do nowadays. And I guess the thing, too, is he does mention I'm different than my art in the song.
Right.
But it rings true. I don't feel that way. I feel like when Louis C.K. did the I Love You Daddy movie, it was way too far. I feel that if you look back at Woody Allen's strange Manhattan movies and things where they're dating young women, it's terrifying. And this song is that evidence, the OJ If I Did It book, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I admit I can't spell for ish. I admit that all I hear is hits. I admit I couldn't read the teleprompter when the Grammys asked me 2%.
All right, so can't read and write.
Yeah.
Jensen, is the reason he's not in jail that people get paid off before they're able to file charges?
That has supposedly, allegedly happened before. There's also a weird thing where if you look back at his songwriting credits, there are people who only appear for one song. And they've done a lot of research for it, and it's parents of kids.
What?
Who are, like, involved. So he has done things in the past where he's paid off people also with songwriting credits, and it's all messed up.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
Right,
not good.
Here's more of the song.
I admit I'm a freak. Used to go to strip clubs every week.
All right. Well, you know, I don't know where.
Right?
I don't know if that's illegal, R. Kelly.
But who these again trying to say I am, and I'm not, and I put that on chief. I admit I fluff with all the ladies. That's both older and young ladies. But tell me how they call it pedophile because of that dish. That's crazy. You may have your opinions. Entitled to your opinions. But really, am I supposed to go to jail or lose my career because your opinion?
I mean, your opinion isn't what's at stake here. It's
no,
the law.
It's opinion versus fact.
Right.
Those are two completely different things.
There's a law that says you can't have sex with underage people.
Yeah, and I like that law. That law's great.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think we should change
it. It's a solid law, and we all live by it.
Yes.
And he seems to not understand it.
And if you're going to do it, don't videotape it and pee on him.
Right.
That is a small detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a small detail.
I admit a family member touched me. Touch me.
Okay, now, that's weird.
Because now he's saying he was molested.
Yes. But it's super dark. But I just want to point out that it's super dark. And he's going, touch me, touch me, touch me.
His ad-libs, his ad-libs are the best part of the song. because there is a part where he says, I admit I was feeling stupid. It's when the IRS took his home away. So he says, I admit I was feeling stupid, staying in the Homewood Suites. And then the ad-lib is, no disrespect. So while he's writing the song, he's also looking for possible advertising in the future. He didn't want to step on Homewood Suites.
Yeah. I admit a family member touched me. Touch me, touch me, touch me. From a child to the age 14. Yeah. Why not lay to sleep? Took my virginity, yeah. So scared to say something, so I just put the blame on me.
Is this a new revelation, or is this something that he had talked about before, Jeff?
That is new. Yeah,
that's new.
That's
right?
A new one. So is dyslexia. People had always sort of assumed because he always put himself in positions where he didn't have to read. But that's really the only two things that popped
that's
up
it.
As new. Yeah,
in 19 minutes.
Yeah, and yeah, and he just over and over again says things like, but this is my advice to you because I'm also a parent. Don't push your daughter in my face and tell me it's okay because your agenda is to get paid and get mad when it doesn't go your way. So his new thing is just don't bring me any kids.
It's right. You. It's your
it's
fault.
You. Don't bring me kids.
It's your fault, parents.
Yeah, you're enabling me by having children at my concert.
Oh, good God.
That's what you're doing. It's not fair.
And if they announced a Staples Center show right now,
yeah.
It would probably sell out.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder.
I wonder. I would like to see it play out because I feel like he would just be at a smaller venue, but I'm probably underestimating the R. Kelly army.
Yeah. Maybe, but he also said he's broke.
Yeah, I know.
And then he tours to play his...
To pay
his mortgage.
Rent, yeah. Boy, oh boy.
It's not the happiest song of the whole week.
No. Can I suggest so many different R&B singers
sure.
for you? Miguel?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Miguel. He has no sexual crimes. There's so many people you could listen to that have no problems having children at their concerts or having parents be like, meet my daughter. Oh, don't do that. It's like, that's insane. There's so much R&B. All you have to do is look it up on iTunes and you'll find so many people that are good singers.
And you can actually move past R. Kelly and leave
him
behind. Yeah.
Please.
All right. It's 7:32 now on K-Rock.
Teen Titans go to the movies. Just after 8 o'clock, actress Tara Strong is going to be in studio with us. Also got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up for you next hour as well. Jensen Karpus here. Hey, Jensen.
Hello.
You didn't go to Comic-Con this year, right?
No, I have stayed away. My anxiety has made it so I don't want to be
around. Oh, you hate being around that many people?
Yeah, I can't do it anymore.
Even Kevin said there were a lot of people.
There were a lot of
Kevin
people.
Usually has no problems with the crowds.
There were a lot of people, but I loved it. I'd go back next year.
Yeah, I did see video of you where you were just sort of floating around like Bill Murray in Japan. Like just slowly lost in translation.
That may have happened.
Yeah, finding your way around a bunch of nerds.
It's possible, sure.
But it did look fun. I watched your live stream. I was like, oh, man, that looks fun.
Here's the thing about the people down there. They love being there.
Yeah.
It's so much positive energy. And there's nobody that's like... critical of other people's costumes or anything. It's just very accepting and full of love, and everybody's excited about being there.
It's a judgment-free zone
yeah.
and also a shower-free zone.
Okay, maybe as well, yes.
For both things it is.
So I played some clips earlier in the week from John Cena and Haley Steinfeld and a bunch of different people, but I didn't play the RZA interview yet. Got a chance to interview him. And, you know, we had him in for Man with the Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he sat down, and he was there to do a panel on martial arts movies and music. And so I wanted to find out how he got interested in martial arts movies.
When did you start loving that genre of movie?
I saw my first martial art film at the age of about 9 years old and never turned back. Love at first sight, as they say. Right?
What was the first movie that caught your attention?
Yeah, I actually remember it because it was a double feature, right? It was called Fury of the Dragon, which was like a chopped up version of a Bruce Lee movie
right.
that wasn't. A real movie, but it was in a theater,
mm-hmm.
and it played with a movie called Black Samurai, which was Jim Kelly, and that was my double feature.
That was it.
And I was like, "Yo, this was different than when I seen this action and this kicking and all that." I just fell in love and never let go.
Loves it so much. So now he's doing a movie called Cutthroat City, which is based in the Ninth Ward in Louisiana, New Orleans, mm-hmm. during Hurricane Katrina. And he's talking about some of the weird people that he ran into while filming the movie, and he put some of them in the movie.
No, we had this one guy, not to get too crazy, but he had been shot multiple times, ooh. Talk with a... And I was like, all right, we're going to get you a scene, all right?
That's a real deal. Come on.
We're going to work you out, work it out.
It's funny. When he met me, he tried to sell me a car. Like, he came to our set and tried to sell me his car.
Did he know who you were?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
That's why he thought he would get an easy sell. And I was like, hold on, bro. I didn't come to buy no car, man. I'm making a movie here. We got all the cars we need.
I'll make a counter proposal. You be in
my
movie.
Yeah, but I love that tattoo. Why don't you jump on in the film?
So then his movie Cutthroat City comes out in February, and I invited him back in on the Kevin and Bean Show. In February, when it comes out, if it is February, come back into the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, that'd be my pleasure.
Yeah, we'd love to talk to you about it.
Bong, bong.
Thank you, man.
Respect.
All right, so.
Wait, hold on. What? Hold on. What? Bong,
so,
bong?
That was my thought. I was interviewing him, and he said bong, bong. And for some reason, I felt like I should totally know what that is. So keep your mouth shut and don't embarrass yourself.
Right.
Then we went out and looked it up on the Urban Dictionary. It says a term popularized by Wu-Tang Clan's RZA.
Okay.
So he came up with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Used as emphasis, much like the word word.
Right.
Jensen, you've heard of this.
Heard of this. This is, I mean, it's an obscure deep cut if you're just walking around saying bong bong. But yes, RZA has been saying bong bong as sort of word up for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. When I had talked to him in my prior life as a rapper, I wanted to work with him because he's one of my favorites. And he said bong bong over and over again in that conversation to a point where I just kind of deducted what it was. Like, oh, that's just his, like, yeah, word.
I didn't deduct anything. I looked it up in Urban Dictionary, but this is it.
Yep. Bong bong.
Bong bong.
Now you have to use it in your everyday life.
I mean, can we pull that off, do you think?
Try it. Like, let's try it together.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, man, it was good seeing you today. Thanks for having me on the show.
Bong bong.
Well, you don't say it like that.
Hey, how do you know, Bean?
Because you force it.
Jensen, have Bean try it.
All right, Bean. Hey, man, have a good day. Thanks for having me on the show, Bean.
Bong bong.
You know what? That actually kind of
was.
How dare you? It was the same thing I did.
No, you know what? He had a bit of a high bong bong. He had like a cool inflection. You went bong bong.
Wow.
Okay, ask me something that I might not believe to be true.
Okay, Allie, that R. Kelly song, I admit, is pretty good.
Bong bong?
That works.
I say it like word?
Well, no, because it's not.
That's not word. That's not how you use word, though.
That is how you use word.
No,
like, if you question something, go, word?
I've never heard word used like that.
Come
it's more
on.
Of an emphasized thing, isn't
I think
it?
His is like, word up, word up. Like, I think he's saying, like, that's cool, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Try me.
All right. Hey, Jensen, thanks so much for stopping in today.
Bong, bong!
No. And the hands on hips. Absolutely not.
Did you like the way I stood on the chair?
Nope. Damn it.
All right, who was best out of all of us? Who was best?
I honestly, Bean took it.
Wow.
Thank you.
Jensen,
is it a weird gig being in the Wu-Tang Clan?
It can't be good. They seem to have problems with each other. They don't get along. If you really read U God's book, which came out, which I'm sure you all did.
Sure.
U God's
bong,
book.
Bong, bong.
Bong, it hinted to the idea that they all think RZA stole money from them. So I don't think. But they are playing. I don't mean to plug them, but they're playing this Friday night at the Shrine doing 36 Chambers front to back.
And if you haven't seen them lately, did they put on a show?
They're still pretty. They've went back and forth about being good and bad.
Oh.
Recently, I think it's been better.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not
I haven't
just
seen them in a couple years.
I'm not trying to sell tickets.
They were, not good.
Well, Method Man, always good. Mm-hmm. There's a couple people that are always good in the group, but yes, people go in and out of just standing up there, almost doing like a crisscross leg style, just rapping at the audience.
Right. Right.
But they still have some energy.
All right.
Bong, bong.
There you go. The other thing that happened at Comic-Con this weekend, Kevin, is that at some point you, completely oblivious to the camera, it seemed like, were having the time of your life playing Ms. Pac-Man in San Diego.
Well, I tried to explain this how my mind works. Because we were at a party, and we had a drink or 10, and I lost my friends. I lost Dave. I lost Christine. I didn't know where anyone was. So I just started wandering around, and then I saw a Ms. Pac-Man game. I was like, ooh, Ms. Pac-Man. Completely forgot that I lost my friends, and I started playing Ms. Pac-Man, and they found me and videotaped it. Stryker saw that. Stryker, who loves Ms. Pac-Man.
Sure.
And left me this message.
Kevin, what's up? It's Stryker calling. I was going to call the Afro line, but I can't remember the number for the Afro line. But you're at Comic-Con, I saw, what do you do there? You walk around, look at Chewbacca and stuff? I don't understand. But anyway, I saw a picture of you on the internet playing Mrs. Pac-Man. I love Ms. Pac-Man so much. Blinky, Pinky, Inky, and Sue. Can you believe Clyde got screwed? Clyde was one of the ghosts in the first one, but they said, F Clyde, we're going to bring in Sue for Ms. Pac-Man. And I don't think people – I love Ms. Pac-Man so not as much as a lizard on the hot square. But Mrs. Pac-Man, they have intermissions in the game. and they show you, and it's like 10-year-olds playing the game. Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man are having sex in the intermission until a stork. I love storks too because they're long. They drop off a baby. Junior Pac-Man. So Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man have sex right in front of your eyes at the intermission. Junior Pac-Man is dropped off. And then if you get real far in the game, and I play Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man a lot, there's a bug at the end. But anyway, cherry, strawberry, orange, pretzel, apple, pear, banana. Cherry, strawberry, orange, pretzel, apple, pear, banana. Gobble up the fruits. I don't know what you do with cum. I don't understand cum. I don't understand. But I hope you play Miss Pac-Man some more. I'm also an expert in Donkey Kong Jr. I'm having a wonderful day. It's pretty nice out. I did see one lizard, no ducks, and I hope I see turtles again. Did you pick up? No. Hello?
How many do you think I picked up here?
All right. I think. Okay, bye.
How many do you think I picked up after a minute and a half of a message? Why would I pick up?
Oh, he got the Donkey Kong. I'm in. Got off on this one. Bum, I do bum. Like that he said, I saw you. I saw a video of you on the internet.
On the internet.
Like it's just somewhere on. I'm like, oh, it's on Drudge right now. No big deal. Bum, bum.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Tara Strong's the next room, you guys.
Bong, bong.
Right? She's Twilight Sparkle from My Little Pony.
Right?
In addition to a million other things, including the Teen Titans Go to the Movies. We'll talk to Tara coming up right after 8. First, though, Allie's here with What's Happening on a Tuesday.
I would like to apologize to people that got very used to me doing the lottery update.
Oh.
Including Karen on Twitter, who said, where's the lottery update, Allie? You know what, Karen? You are totally right. Here's the thing.
Here's what doesn't matter is I bought the winning tickets yesterday.
Okay.
So you could tell the story if you want, but...
We use a different service now.
I see.
The one we use does not have a lottery update, so it doesn't tell me when the lottery is up to $512 million.
This one has a drawing tonight.
I had no idea. Yeah, Mega Millions drawing tonight. $512 million. That means the cash option... $303 million.
I hope no other loser ties me for it, so I have to split it, right?
Oh, two ways? Right? Yeah, that would suck, Kevin.
I mean, really.
So I just want to apologize. I will be more on top of the lottery, Mega Millions. What did we say? When the take-home is more than, what, $200 million, that's when I should start
reporting. I mean, really, that's sort of only when we pay attention, okay. Which is absurd. We know.
Right. We get it. But absolutely. So
this is my life until I win the lottery.
Right.
We had done this topic a while ago about the saddest songs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like what song just stops you in your tracks and you're just sobbing? Well, Forbes came out with an interview of all sorts of different singers, guitarists, musicians in general. What song did they just lose it when it comes on? And I would like to play for you two of our favorites and what their saddest songs are. First up is Dave Grohl, and I didn't see this one coming at all. It's a little song by Eric Carmen, All By Myself.
Sad.
That is a pretty sad song.
But here's what Dave Grohl said. That song's just an effing bummer. Want a clear room? Put that effing S on. So I feel like he was just making more fun of it than saying
sure.
That was really the one that got him. However, Panic at the Disco's Brevin. Yeah. I change
Brendan's
ends,
brother.
Ends into V's sometimes.
Okay.
Makes it kind of ethnic.
Okay.
Brendan Urie has a song that kills me anytime I hear it. By one of my favorite human beings in the world, Bonnie Raitt. It's I Can't Make You Love Me. I will lay down my heart, and I feel the power, but you won't. No, you won't. Cause I can't make you love me.
Wow, it's Love Songs on the Coast this morning,
right? Allie, stop.
Come on, Mike Sakalaridis. What are you doing?
I just love
it reference.
So much. He says that I can't make you love me. Every time I hear it, I go Niagara Falls. Alone in a room, I could be in a crowded bar. Oh, my God, I love it. There's something about that, too. There's that factor. I remember hearing Adele talk about this like 3 years ago. She said it has to end up on an album where I'm crying in the studio, like recording take after take because I'm crying in the studio. There's something special about that.
Okay. Why were they talking to people about the saddest songs in the world?
Because sad songs say so much.
Okay, good answer.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin, no need to flip me off of that. Just saying.
Just file it.
Just
Kevin, do you have a song that that slays you?
Yeah, it's Foo Fighters' Home.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, it's I really just wish I was home.
Yeah.
He's talking about, you know, his family and everything. He's on the road.
I don't think about Foo Fighters songs as ever being sad.
I don't
maybe
either.
Maybe I'm not a big lyric guy.
Home is a great song.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you, Bean?
Just Barbie Girl by Aqua.
Yeah.
Sure.
Ooh, right.
I mean, that's all of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mine's probably Mouse Rat. Bye bye, Lil Sebastian.
That was pretty sad.
Very.
I'm going to miss that mini pony.
Oh, he's in horsey heaven, you guys.
He is.
Right.
Oh, good Lord. Well, Blink-182 has announced a small run of shows following a string of cancellations of their Vegas residency.
Dude, so Travis is good now.
He appears to be.
Oh, that makes
these,
me.
These start in September.
That makes me feel so good.
Absolutely. They've got everything from Riot Fest, which they were going to do, to shows everywhere from Connecticut, New Jersey, Iowa. And then they have announced their shows at the Pearl Theater at the Palms Casino October 26th, 27th, November 2nd, 3rd, 9th, 10th, 16th, and 17th. So we are back on.
So happy.
With Blink-182. I like it.
Now, did they take your advice and bubble wrap him?
They should. My God.
He's had a rough go of it.
He really has. Yeah. When he's not getting blood clots, he's getting hit by a bus.
And the nicest person in the world.
Absolutely. There's no one who wants to be on stage more than Travis Barker, let alone just rehearsing.
Yep.
And I don't know if you know, but they rehearsed for different
I've heard that. I heard a lady talk about that, yeah.
It was a drunk woman that was yelling at him.
She was wasted.
Right?
It was insanity. coming up, I'm going to tell you about a studio recording of David Bowie that's up for auction that was found in a really weird place. And it's one of the first recordings of David Bowie ever when he was kind of finding his way in the music business. And you won't believe where someone found it. Bizarre. No, Chip, stop pointing at your butt. It wasn't in Chip's butt. But wow, what a find,
I mean,
right?
That is a good guess.
Some birthdays for you. Linda Carter, Gus Van Sant, Anna Paquin, Michael Richards, Kristen Chenoweth, Jennifer Lopez, Rose Byrne, Elizabeth Moss, and Lakers forward Kyle Kuzma. And that's what's happening.
Hold, Robin. We've got trouble. Let's put the fun in funeral.
This is weird. He's seen your underwear?
Oh, hiya, B-Man. Harley Quinn here.
How do you like my new uniform?
Face it, Tiger. You just met the Ultimate Spider-Woman.
Oh, it looks so lovely.
Excuse me, Mr. Owl. Can you tell me how many licks does it take to...
Opposite gender titans, go!
I'm Tara. You do my voice. You don't sound like me. I'm versatile.
I used to do this voice a lot.
Yeah, I wish you'd seen it.
And pretty Pegasus.
Whoa. That montage was exhausting.
And now you know why we are in awe of our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, the voice actress of our times, Tara Strong, in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Tara!
Oh, hi, guys. That was awesome. There's one little mistake in there.
Oh, no. What was it?
Yeah, Arlene Sorkin was the original Harley, and you had her on there, and she is a goddess. So I came in during the video games, and now I do it pretty much full time, but everything else was right.
You know, if we had wanted to do a montage of all of your characters, it would be 11:30 by the time it finished playing. You have over 500 acting credits, Tara.
I like to say that I win IMDb.
You do.
You
I
may.
I
do.
Win.
Yeah, yes.
Is there anyone who has more IMDb credits than you?
I don't think so.
That's amazing.
That is crazy.
Wow. And I know that you get asked a lot of the same questions a lot of the time about how to get into and how do you do it and how do you take care of your voice and all that. But the one story I've never heard you tell is, how did you get started? Weren't you just a kid when you were Hello Kitty?
Yeah. So I knew when I was 4 years old that I wanted to be a singer, dancer, actress. And I begged my parents to get me an agent. I grew up in Toronto and they didn't really know much about the business. business. And finally, they got me one when I was 13. Mm-hmm. And I booked my first TV show, which was an on-camera show with Mr. T. And
awesome.
My first musical theater was Music Man. And my first cartoon, which was Hello Kitty. And I didn't know that that was going to be primarily what I would do in my career. It was just, in Toronto, I had a very well-rounded career. I still did on-camera, which I do now, too. Sometimes I had a movie mm-hmm. out last summer. But that is mostly what I do. And I didn't foresee that when I was younger. But it's certainly so fun.
So,
I can't complain.
So how did anyone even think of, because most people never think about voice actors, right?
Well, I think they do now because of the internet.
Well, yeah, sure. maybe not. But when you were coming up, it's amazing that somebody had the foresight to say, hey, in addition to the on-camera work, let's just take advantage of Tara's voice and try to find her some work that way. I mean, that's super smart that they even thought of that.
Yeah, I don't know that anyone ever saw it coming. Like I said, it was just another audition. It was another production co-produced in Canada. And that was lucky for me that I had over 20 animated series to my name before I moved here with American co-production. So it wasn't like I was just someone getting off the bus going, hey, I want to
exactly,
do voices.
Yeah.
It seemed like a pretty small community of people.
It's really tiny. Yeah.
They do everything.
Yeah. I see the same 20 people everywhere I go.
You do?
Uh-huh.
So breaking into that business must be incredibly difficult.
It's really, really hard. And so I have a problem with people, you know, charging a fortune for hopefuls and saying pay to audition. Never, ever pay to audition.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's such a horrible
scam. You have to pay them to audition?
Yeah. And people take advantage of kids that really want to get in. I'm like, hey, here, make this demo for $5,000 and do this. The only thing you should be doing if that's really your passion is taking acting classes, singing mm-hmm. lessons, scene study, so that you, when you get into the booth, you're not intimidated and you're ready and you're prepared. Because if you're too nervous and you mess up, you'll never get another shot.
Are you still going on auditions? I feel like you should just pick up the phone and they're like, here's what we need. Here's the script.
That happens a lot. Uh-huh. But I do still audition every day. I have my own home studio. And often you have to audition for a part you've already had, which can be...
What?
Very upsetting and hard.
You have to audition for a part you already had.
Yeah, because there's often different, you know, producers that come in or even studio heads that come in and say, let's try this, let's try that. And my agent will say, do you mind? They want you to audition again. If you say no, then you're out of the running.
Sure.
So unfortunately, it's
That's
part
bizarre.
Of my job and I do it all the time. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Such a surprise.
Yeah.
Now, forgive me if this is a delicate question, but I honestly don't know because you're clearly so good at so many voices on so many shows. Why don't people like The Simpsons and Family Guy and shows like that also have somebody like you on staff?
Well, I've been on Family Guy many times.
You have? Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. I've been really fun players on a lot of those Fox primetime shows and booked a lot of pilots and done a bunch of stuff with them. The only show I haven't been on is Simpsons, but I did a Futurama. That stuff's really fun, especially when you're doing like kid voices all day. Like, I'll never forget, my mother-in-law was visiting and she came with me to Rugrats, and then from Rugrats we went to Drawn Together, and I was like, just so you know, this is not the Rugrats.
When you're walking around in the real world and you do your regular voice, which I understand is your Batgirl, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
She is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do people ever recognize you from any of the other voices that you've done just because they hear your real voice?
It's more that they see my face because, like I said, because of the internet. I don't know that my predecessors knew how loved they were, but now people look up who their favorite voice actor is and who's on what show. So I get recognized in my daily life here and there, and people say, oh, I love this show, I love that show. But at cons, I'm like J-Lo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Or like if I go into a GameStop, you know, like, oh, sure. My God, that's so strong. You know, so I know my peoples.
I can imagine that you're going to say all of them are special. They're like your children. But do you have a favorite voice?
So that is true because mm-hmm. I don't know what horseshoe I was born under, but to get to play Harley and Batgirl and Raven and Timmy Turner and Bubbles and Twilight, like, it, they're so iconic, these characters, and I feel so lucky. But when I don't know what little girl didn't love The Little Mermaid. Like, the poster is still hanging in my childhood bedroom.
Oh, really?
And so shortly after I moved to town, I booked her daughter, and we worked on the sequel together. And singing in studio with Jodie Benson, I was, like, bawling.
Oh, wow.
Totally fangirling. And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I've just loved you for so long. So that has a really special place in my heart for The Mermaid, too. Yeah.
This is the voice of Tara Strong here on The Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, the Teen Titans Go to the Movies in theaters everywhere this Friday. Now, that's what you were at Comic-Con for this past weekend, right?
Well, that's one of the things. I had about 1,000 things.
Oh, did you? Okay. Teen Titans Go has a crazy fan base, too, like so many of the other shows you've been on?
And the movie also has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
How
right
about
now,
that?
Right?
How often does that happen?
I've never seen it happen. And it's such a funny movie. It's so fun. I just saw it for the second time at the premiere and laughed even more. And it's earning that rating. It's just fun.
It has to feel like you've done movies, TV shows, whatever before, where you thought it was fantastic and the critics are like,
eh. Yes, that's happened many times.
And that has to suck. But then you do something like this and they say 100%. You go, okay, well, that's what I think. I agree with you.
The reaction has been overwhelming and really surprising, and it's making us really happy. Because at first when we started doing the show, fans were hesitant because it wasn't the continuation of where we left off the original series, which ended at a crazy pivotal story arc. So people are like, wait, it's coming back, but it's not that, and they're cheating.
2006?
Yeah.
Is that when it was?
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay.
And so at first the fans weren't on board, but then I think because they kept the original voice cast, which was very clever, they ended up falling in love with us. And I think this is just going to propel that even further because it really is so funny. The songs are fantastic. They just released a video yesterday, and there's super fun, celebrity stars in it too. And obviously the original cast is my family, and it's just a great, fun time.
I remember when celebrities started taking over for models on magazine covers, and a lot of models are like, hey, wait a minute, you just hired her because they're famous. Is some of that going on in the voice world now where you have people like Nicolas Cage and whoever this Jimmy Kimmel guy is doing voices in Teen Titans? I mean, do you look at them and go, hey, wait a minute, you're not voice actors?
Well, when you look at the original big animated features, they didn't have any huge celebrities in them. And so that's been a transition for a long time.
I feel like Robin Williams is the one who kind of changed everything.
Yeah, and I have no problem with huge A-list celebrities coming in if they're amazing, and they are. I mean, I can't tell you how awesome it was doing Batgirl alongside Mark Hamill. There's not a bigger on-camera star than Mark Hamill. But he's fantastic at it. So I always say it's like asking a tap dancer if they do ballet. Not everybody does. So if they're great at it, I welcome it. You had to give Nick Cage Superman. Come on. I mean,
yeah.
To be Superman. Sure. And the other guys did a great job. So if they're doing a good job, I'm okay with it.
And Will Arnett, by the way.
Hilarious.
What a voice. And so funny, and with Lego and with everything else.
Yeah,
he's
hilarious.
Great. All right. So the synopsis, before we let you go, Tara, the synopsis of Teen Titans, though, these are not your A-list superheroes. But they band together to make greatness happen.
They really do, and it's so sweet. You know, Robin, who is the leader on the show, he's played by Scott Menville, who's absolutely brilliant and tireless. Like, really, Raven just does this the entire time. And he's, like, all over the place. And he really wants his own movie, and we're not big enough stars to have our own movie. And so the whole film becomes about that and really how you lose yourself when you get to Hollywood, which I've seen happen a few times. And it's just an all-around fun, good time, and the Teen Titans are going on this adventure in Hollywood.
But the downside is it only got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
so.
What a bummer.
You got to deal with that.
But great timing, because everyone needs a laugh right now, maybe more than ever.
Oh, that's what I said on the carpet. I think the world is ready for a laugh, and I just think it's a good time to just sit down and turn off your brain and have a good time.
Well, it's DC Entertainment and Cartoon Network, and it is Teen Titans Go to the Movies, available in theaters everywhere this Friday. Fun for the whole family. Tara, let's not make it so long next time you came in, all right?
Okay.
Really fun. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, another quick reminder, the new limited edition K-Rock Gorillaz sticker is available now at Southern California Hot Topic locations. You just stop by the store near you, pick up the sticker, and then read the back. It'll tell you how you can win the 2019 Honda Fit and a $500 Hot Topic gift card, plus an intimate show with the Gorillaz for you and 50 friends. I enjoyed that Damon Albarn on the program yesterday,
Same.
By the way. If you missed it, you want to check out the podcast.
Shame he looks that way, right?
Right.
No.
Got to deal with that.
Thing. How does he look that way and then plays behind a screen? What is wrong with you?
Does seem like a waste of his best assets, doesn't it? Go to KROQ.com for all the details, and good luck with that. Actress Rebecca Ferguson joins us in studio right after 9 a.m. She is back as Ilsa in the latest Mission Impossible movie out on Friday. Oh, that looks so good, doesn't it?
Can't wait.
And she's a fantastic actress. Very excited about her coming up. Plus, Allie's got What's Happening on the way. First, though, hey, Dave, King of Mexico.
Good morning, guys. How's your day going?
Well, thank you.
All right. All right. Show sounds good, so keep it up.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for the pep talk.
Yeah,
appreciate that. You ready for a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup?
Sure.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
One of the most controversial video clips of the whole year is what we're going to feature first here. Who is America is Sacha Baron Cohen's show on Showtime Sunday nights. I think I may be out on this show, Kevin.
I'm way in because I can't imagine people actually do this.
Here's my whole thing. I see plenty of stupid in the world on a daily basis.
Are you referring to me with that?
No, not at all. All right, I'm talking about the people that you then tune in Sunday night on the Showtime show and see concentrated doses of really stupid people, especially this representative from the House in Georgia. Now, I guess Sacha Baron Cohen's character, he's playing a Mossad character, is trying to teach him how to combat terrorism.
Yes.
This representative from Georgia will do or say any words that Sacha Baron Cohen wants him to say or do. Here's an example.
We pretend to be a Chinese tourist because the Chinese always taking selfie. Okay, convince him or her that you are Chinese. Go.
Konnichiwa, Red Dragon, Beijing, sushi, Red Dragon chopstick,
right.
sushi, oh no,
good. Let's look at the picture. He's not a terrorist.
All right, stop the tape right there. That's the thing that Adam Carolla almost lost a radio show over, was doing that kind of an accent, all right? This Georgia representative, no problem whatsoever with mocking Asian speech.
Yeah.
Is
but wait.
Getting the right.
I know.
Sorry.
There's everything about it is wrong. But wait, there's more.
In America, there is one forbidden word. It is the N-word. Now, I am going to be the terrorist. You have 3 seconds to attract attention. Go! Are you crazy? The N-word is noonie, not this word. This world is disgusting.
By the way,
are you crazy indeed? That he couldn't have been more happy to scream it.
And it won't surprise you that there are calls all over Georgia for him to resign his position in the House of Representatives, and he says no, he will not. He defends his behavior on the show. You got to see it.
That's scary.
This may be my favorite Internet Roundup video in a long time. Doesn't say which McDonald's it's at.
Oh, boy.
Kevin, would you have ever done what this guy did when you drove up to the McDonald's if this was going on?
Absolutely.
If I'm going to clean on my day off, I'm going to clean at home.
Let me set it up. He stands there and records it. He pulls up next to the drive-thru, and rather than the person on the other side of the glass talking to him, she's clearly in the middle of a phone call. So he just starts recording it, and he never tries to interrupt.
He's doing the right thing.
Yeah, he never tries to say, hello, ma'am, could you get off the phone and take my order? He just sits there and tapes it. You can't believe how long it goes on. All right.
If I'm going to clean on my day off, I'm going to clean at home. And it was hotter than a motherfucker. Right here, dude. I'm like, I'm not cleaning in this. She's got me
fucked
up. I took my ass right back up out of here. I didn't even say nothing to nobody. I just walked out.
Can you imagine pulling up to a McDonald's restaurant and hearing that coming out of the speaker?
That's
just insane.
Man, she's a joke. Okay, so I loaned her $20, right? That week after she couldn't pay her phone bill. Remember we were discussing that? Girl, I had to ask her twice for it back. Then finally yesterday, she gives me $10 of it, right? And then says, oh, hey, I got weed for sale. I'll give you a front. I'm like, bitch, you can't afford to give fronts. You owe people money. Yeah, I almost said to her, okay, give me a 10 bag of weed. But then I'm like, no, let me just see if she'll actually give me the damn cash.
All right, stop right there. Now, if it's me at this point, I thought it was funny, too.
No, you're the wrong guy, then.
I want to get some food.
No, sir.
I'm so impressed with his not butting in.
Yes. It's amazing to me.
I love it.
So you would still be sitting there.
Yes, I'd still be sitting there right now.
I would be like, hello, I really need a Big Mac
here. I'd spend the night if I had to.
I might have said, hey, I'll take the weed if you're not interested, right?
She keeps talking.
I apologize for the wait. How can I help you?
Oh, yeah, let me get your...
And then he just goes out and orders, doesn't say a word, like nothing happened.
Love it.
I love that one so much. And finally, on this week's Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, there's a guy, I don't remember, I think, is he Indian, Dave? Is that where he's from? Pakistan? He's from someplace. He's got a whole bunch of Guinness World Records. In fact, he holds more Guinness World Records than anyone in the world. His name is Jashrita Furman. And I don't know, I think maybe the reason he holds so many records is because he makes up records like they didn't exist before he decided to try.
Yeah, he can have this one. I don't want it.
Yeah, I don't want this one either.
He is laying down like he's going to bench press, but instead somebody is putting one watermelon after another right onto his stomach, and he is cutting the watermelon in two with a machete, basically.
It's a sword, yeah.
A sword, yeah, like one right after another, and I'm telling you, this sword is going all the way through the watermelons. They are breaking in half. That means the sword is coming up and either hitting or getting very close to hitting his body underneath the watermelon.
He's also not doing, he's not paying real close attention because he's hurrying up.
Oh, it's shocking how fast and how many watermelons this dude's cut through on his stomach. Mm-mm. So you'll hear a little bit of it and then he explains.
Hi. I feel relieved. I mean, it went really well. It couldn't have gone better, but I'm very, very relieved because it's actually dangerous. I'd have to say, please don't try this at home.
Good tip.
Because it's a very sharp blade, and if you, you know, slip, yeah, I can, you can easily cut an arm or a finger or, you know, whatever.
Or your stomach.
And as it went along, I mean, I have to sort of regulate, you know, how hard I hit the blade. And so I was sort of like, you know, doing that, but also trying to be very conscious of like where the blade was. And I noticed at one or two points, it was getting very close to my arm. So I had to make an adjustment.
So maybe don't do that.
Don't do that.
Did you see the part in the video where he lifts up his shirt and you can actually see all the creases on his around his belly button where it looks like he's a cutter because he's a cutter?
It's insane.
With this thing. So don't do that.
And I'm still not impressed as much as the other video on the roundup that has the guy downing three bottles of water in 6 seconds. That was way more impressive.
That is pretty remarkable as well, Dave. Yeah. I don't know why a person would need to do that, but you can check it out and all the rest, too, at KevinAmin.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
Alan McKay is here. Time for What's Happening and free stuff to give away.
Free stuff. Remember... Yeah, kids love free stuff. Remember when I first saw the trailer for Christopher Robin? And I couldn't wait to tell you guys because it seemed like everyone on the internet was having the same response that I did. Just sobbing. Just finally, Christopher Robin, he's back. And then you see Winnie the Pooh for the first time. They haven't talked to each other in decades. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't wait to bring it to you. So we played part of the trailer. Mm-hmm. And then Omar added a fart sound. And I lost my ass.
Yeah, it was not. It was funny from Omar, and it was not taken well by you for reals. That was weird.
It really upset me because I love Christopher Robin so much.
Maybe too much, some would say.
A lot would say. Okay. All would say. Well, here's the thing. The movie is finally out, you guys. It hits theaters August the 3rd, but how would you like to see it on July 31st? Five winners are going to get four passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Disney's Christopher Robin at Edwards Irvine Spectrum. That is all going down July 31st. So if you would like to see it well before the rest of the people and see Ewan McGregor and Hayley Atwell and Winnie the Pooh, you guys, give a call right now. We'll take callers 20 through 24 at 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to get a four-pack of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Disney's Christopher Robin at Edwards Irvine Spectrum on July 31st. I can't wait to see
that. I know, you're
going
to have to do a little search and find out which theater Allie's going to go to because...
No, not funny.
Too much crying. Pick another theater.
Or I thought you would send people to just make fart sounds around me.
Oh, no. I didn't think that smart. Yes. Good idea.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Okay, no.
Oh, it looks so good. He's down on his luck, and who can help him, you guys? Winnie. Winnie the Pooh. Just me?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I can actually answer that question for once.
All right. Guys, Mac Miller was on Beats One Radio's Zane Lowe show, and he was talking about his breakup with Ariana Grande, and he basically said what we all say after a breakup. Life is stressful. We were together for 2 years. It came to an end. We both moved on. It's that simple, you know. But then he was talking about how a lot of people were concerned that he wasn't posting a lot on social media. Like somehow he should be talking all about his feelings on Instagram. Hmm. And he said, I haven't been on the internet. So, you know, people have assumed that I'm, are you okay? Is everything okay? He then says, I don't know. It just all seemed kind of unimportant. The need to show people I was okay. Like, what is that? Where does that come from? Why? Why do we have this need to use social media and the internet? It all makes perfect sense, right?
Sure.
Which seems like very odd timing for Pete Davidson, who is now dating Mac Miller's ex, Ariana Grande. Ariana Grande. For him to wipe all of his photos and videos off of Instagram. It just seems like weird timing for him to come out and say, I just don't want to be on Instagram anymore or on any social media platform. The internet is an evil place and it doesn't make me feel good. Why should I spend any time on negative energy when my real life is effing lit?
You guys, Ariana Grande is actually controlling people.
Do you think
get off social media?
Do you think that's it?
Yes.
Or do you think that Pete Davidson is like, you know what, Mac Miller's probably right. Maybe I don't need every aspect of my personal life out there.
He has been sharing
a lot. Right there, man.
Sharing a lot lately since they've been dating.
He really has. And maybe it's when you're in the beginning stages of a relationship. We know you're excited. Your heart's in the right place. You want to share everything. But then, heaven forbid, should it go south?
Yeah.
Should they break up? Now you got to delete all that crap again. Or leave it up and be like, dude, I effed up. Why was I posting all that crap before? It's just, it's insanity.
Ariana Grande. Isn't that right, Kev Dog? Ariana Grande.
How do you say it, Kevin?
Ariana Grande?
But in real life, though.
Ariana Grande.
That was good.
Thank you.
It was all, like all one syllable. Ariana Grande. Okay, good. Guys, the first known studio recording of David Bowie is set for auction after being found where? In an old bread basket. This is
I'm sorry?
Just, it was in a bread basket.
In a bread basket where?
In this dude's house. David Hadfield uncovered it in his loft. It was a tape of 16-year-old David Bowie, then known as David Jones, singing I Never Dreamed with his first band, the Conrads. So it's essentially the first recording ever of David Bowie.
I found it online if you want to hear a
little
piece.
I would love to, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
Wow.
So who knew?
It's like he knew that Shaggy would be a thing
right.
later on in life. But isn't that nuts to have something
yeah, that's crazy.
From a 16-year-old David Bowie?
I bet it's terrible.
It can't be great.
Can't be great.
It can't be. Yeah, he said it's a significant recording, completely unique. It's Bowie as a fledgling musician who would go on to superstardom.
Who puts that in their breadbasket originally?
Right.
You know what? I need to put this someplace. Oh, the breadbasket, sure.
Breadbasket. And then let's wait, 50-some-odd years? Wait, 63, 28.
Don't try it.
It was a long time that it was in that breadbasket is what I'm saying. It's expected to fetch over $10,000. I would think it would get more than that. No?
I don't know. I'm not into that kind of memorabilia. Tough for me to say.
Really?
It's not going to be good. Bean says it's not good.
What kind of memorabilia are you into, Kevin, out of curiosity?
I mean, okay.
It sounded like there was a genre.
I do have some music things, but not from David Bowie. That's all.
Okay. What do you have?
I have a guitar from Tom Morello.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That's awesome.
Right?
Okay.
You were just mocking me, weren't you?
I stand corrected.
And a lot of sports stuff.
Okay.
Back to you.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Linda Carter, Jennifer Lopez, Gus Van Sant, Anna Paquin, Michael Richards, Rose Byrne, Elizabeth Moss, Lakers forward Kyle Kuzma, and Kristen Chenoweth. And that's what's happened.
Gotta tell you, Kevin, I feel like you botched the hug again. I felt like you went in for the hug and it was all wrong, man.
I don't know. I
feel conclusions or something.
Here's my thing. I feel like Rebecca changed midstream. Like she was going for the hug.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Then she stuck out her hand. Ooh. I was confused. What
like
do I do?
Like she thought better of it?
Maybe.
Ooh.
And maybe
I
she was going in for
keeping people on their toes.
Mm. I think she was planning for the hug and then she looked up,
she saw
your
me.
Face and said, oh, the hug's a mistake. I'm not going to do the hug.
It's very possible.
And then she's like, how can I get out of this? I'm already too far gone.
So bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, this Friday, one of the most anticipated films of 2018, Mission Impossible Fallout, is in theaters everywhere. It is getting the ravest of all rave reviews. I think of all the Mission Impossible movies, this one is getting the best marks from people who have already seen it. One of the greatest action films of all time. Rebecca, you are back as Ilsa. How are
you
this morning?
I'm really well. I'm energetic. It's my first interview. I feel on my toes.
It's your first interview.
It is, forever. I've never done an interview
Wow,
before.
That's weird.
You're doing great.
Nervous. Yeah.
We gave away a trip to the world premiere in Paris for Mission Impossible Fallout.
Thank you.
We sent some Kevin and Bean listeners, and they had the time of their lives, first of all, because how can you have a bad time in Paris? But apparently you all were so nice to them on the red carpet, and they were sending back pictures of you know, he and his girlfriend with Tom Cruise.
You remember
and
them?
Oh, I know them. I remember them. They were so lovely.
And they had the best time. And your whole cast.
Who's better than her?
I know.
Jeez.
How do you remember them, Rebecca?
Didn't you see
10,000 people that
night? No, but they stopped. I remember them looking and saying, "We've won tickets and we've come over." And I talked and I looked at them and they were happy and
They were all of those things.
Sweet. And they were in, I think, white T-shirt.
I don't know about that.
What's happening right
okay.
now?
Wow.
Are you a psychic?
Well, a little bit, a little bit.
Okay.
Your whole cast, though, in this film, I mean, it must be, look, it's hard work making a movie, particularly a movie like this. But when you're working with Tom Cruise, you work with Simon Pegg, and you work with Ving Rhames and Michelle Monaghan, I mean, these are super nice people on top of everything else, it seems like.
Well.
No. If you say so. No, it is. It is incredible. And I think the first time when I did the first film, there was an already established familiar feeling on set. And that is so welcoming. It's kind of a little bit like walking into this room. I feel like you know and like each other, aside from Seattle Man, but you know.
Okay.
No, but it's a lovely
feeling. She's very perceptive.
She is. I'm telling you, she's psychic.
I'm lucky. And then Michelle came on, and I'd seen Michelle in basically all of our films and have a little bit of a girl crush on her. So it couldn't have been better.
Yeah. Did you ever anticipate, maybe I should rephrase the question, how far back in your career did you ever think movies like this were possible for you? Because this certainly isn't where you started in big movies like this.
No, I started in a, I call it drama series, but to be, let's be frank, it's called a soap opera. But we did 2.5 episodes a day, which was basically theatre school for me, or drama school.
2.5
wow.
a day?
That's a lot.
That is low quality, right?
What?
You just accept anything and move
you
on.
Just move on.
Right? That seems terrible.
You learn lines very fast.
I'll bet.
But
did
I
you
never
do a lot of
happen.
How long were you standing there? Long enough.
No, but you know what? I did actually have the turn. I mean, this is radio, but I'll explain it.
Okay.
It's the back head to the camera turning very, very gracefully in with a little tear.
Nailed it.
I nailed it.
Yeah.
I love
so,
it. To Mission if, Impossible.
If,
I mean, what
yeah,
happened?
I was going to say, if somebody had come up to you on the set of that and said, one day look at what you're going to be doing in Mission Impossible, you probably wouldn't have believed it.
No, definitely. I still don't really believe it. I think I did not think they were going to ask me to come back to Fallout.
Because, is that right?
Yeah, because you had no idea. It ended with all possibilities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I basically just emailed Chris and Tom all the time going, when's the next one? When's
nice.
The next one?
Stop bothering us.
We will give you a role. Stop it.
How do they, this is a dumb question, but I mean, when you have a franchise like Mission Impossible, everyone has to try to top the movie before. And at some point, it's impossible, right? Like, how do they even begin to try to top stunts that, especially that Tom has done in years past?
I don't know. I mean, we sit on set and we think, okay, so he's on the Hercules plane going up.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get higher unless we're going out into space.
Mm-hmm.
We were wrong. Because there's halo jumps. Silly us.
Sure, right.
I'm wondering, though, I mean, what if we go deep?
Underwater?
See?
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Because I'm thinking now, I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there.
Okay.
I'm thinking space.
Sure.
Halo and space. Is there something in between? Am I missing something?
Mm.
I'm not smart enough to know that.
I mean, neither.
I don't know.
Tom
I
is.
I don't think so.
Tom is.
Yeah, he is.
Halo definitely. Times two.
Yeah.
Halo times two.
Double Halo.
He's 56.
Is that a thing?
The Bela.
Tom is 56 years old, which is not old in regular people's terms at all, but it is old for the kind of stunts that he still insists on doing himself.
Yep.
They must try to talk him out of every one of them, right?
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
They just give up.
Would
and go,
you?
All right.
If Tom was here, would you go, Tom, do you want to stop? You just don't say it because he loves it so much, and it oozes out of his pores and his hands and his body and face. He doesn't want to stop. And if you get a little taste, I've done, 1% of what he's done, and I want more. I'm a little bit disappointed that I didn't do Killer Thigh Move more than once.
Well, that's a shame.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
let's criticize the movie.
Right?
Also a great band. No,
that's what we're here for.
Yeah,
I
move.
You were a little bit pregnant during some of Mission Impossible Fallout?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, a little bit.
A little bit. We hit 5 months. There were stomachs in people's faces now and then, yes.
And did that impact anything you were allowed or not allowed to do on the set?
We actually, luckily enough, we'd done most of the fighting sequences prior to Tom breaking foot and making baby period, which I call it.
Breaking foot and making baby period.
Yes.
Okay.
That is what we call it. Tom breaks a foot, make a baby. So when we came back...
How long was the break?
I want to say 8 weeks, maybe.
That's a long time to shut down a movie, right?
In compared to what he did, his foot, man, was lying horizontally to his shin.
Oh, no.
Oh, that takes, I don't know how many months to heal.
Mm. Oh, no.
No, no, no. But
I don't want to see
that. He was running after, I don't know how many weeks we had off. Maybe we had less, 7.
Oh, my gosh.
Is he an alien?
I don't know. I don't know. Ask him.
There's something wrong with that.
True or false, that shot that he broke his foot on is in the movie?
True.
Wow.
True. And Simon Sixpack Pegg, he...
That's his nickname?
That's his nickname. He has abs now.
Really?
Yeah.
Go on.
Couldn't love him more.
Go on. Go on. Honey. I'll tell you. Okay. I'll tell you, honey.
All right. I think we need to take a break, right?
We do.
Let's take a quick break because Rebecca Ferguson is here and it sounds like it's about to get good. Mission Impossible Fallout in theaters everywhere on Friday. She's delightful, you guys. We'll be right back with more on K-Rock.
I don't know how we're going to do it, but Rebecca Ferguson needs to be a full-time member of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Agreed.
She's going to have to join the program, honestly. We're not going to let you go, Rebecca.
Okay, good. I have nothing coming up. Wink, wink.
Too much fun. She's one of the co-stars of Mission Impossible Fallout in theaters everywhere on Friday. It looks good. We have so many questions we want to get to, but I didn't want to cut you off, but we had to take a break. You were starting to talk about Simon Pegg a little bit. Simon Sixpack Pegg.
Say it again.
We've had him on the program many, many times over the years. Nicest guy in the world and so funny, right?
He's you know, a little bit of a laugh here and there. Sucks at ping pong, though.
Sucks at ping pong?
Yeah. Oh.
You destroy
really
him?
Oh, did I destroy him? Actually, you know who's really good? Sean Harris.
Is that right?
Yes. You wouldn't think. Sean Harris plays Lane in our film.
Mm-hmm.
The baddie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just...
You're laughing at because this is radio. I'm quite...
Lot of hand motions. Yes.
I am.
Is this something you do on set when you're not working? Just play ping pong with one another?
Yes, we did actually. We didn't on the last one. So we have the Pain Cave, which is TC World, Tom Cruise World. He has a trailer with Jim and stuff going on. And the Pain Cave is filled with rowing machines and stuff. And you try and stay away from it because it's hard work in there.
Right.
So we made our own kind of Pain Cave. And we put a ping pong table. He doesn't know about this. He just thinks that we're training.
Right.
And an ice cream bar.
Ice cream bars. Waffles, actually.
Waffles.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
You're doing it right.
I know.
Rebecca, did you always want to be an actress?
No.
What did you think you might do?
I didn't really know. I went to a music school in Sweden and because I, you know, could sing, I could hold a note. I didn't really like school that much. And then someone asked me, actually, my mother forced me into a modeling competition thingy.
Nice of your mom to do.
It was horrendous. And we walked in, we held a little, like in prison, like a little tag in front of your chest with a number on. And we all had to walk up and down.
How old were you? When
12 or 13, wow. 14.
I hate all the pressure they put on me to model. And
really?
I just wouldn't do it. I frankly refuse.
In my head, you are the handsomest of handsomest.
Well, you haven't seen him.
I know.
Keep it that way.
But they asked me to model a couple of times, and I just turned it down. Also, I'm so short and apparently fat. So
that's ridiculous.
Well, compared to, you know, the world.
That's ridiculous.
So I just said, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore.
And was it modeling that somehow ended up being a bridge to somebody saw the pictures and said, hey, do you want to be on TV?
Yes. So basically, they had cast all the characters for this TV show, a drama series, soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we need a face to look similar to what we already cast. So they went through modeling books and said, well, let's hope she can act.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. That's how it started.
Had you taken any classes at this point?
No.
They just threw you on the soap opera.
After you got the soap opera, did you take?
Yeah. So basically, they had probably had an open casting and none of them really suited what they were after. And they called me and said, from the modeling agency, they want to cast you for a soap. And I thought, no. And then I did a couple of times, got the role and loved it.
Wow.
Oh, interesting. You got bit by the bug.
I just loved it.
Was the White Queen the big breakthrough for most people to recognize your name and face?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That was huge.
It was my first casting abroad outside of Swedish territory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that right?
And that was intense.
Well, Allie and I were talking earlier about how much we loved The Girl on the Train, but I really fell in love with you in The Greatest Showman.
I love that movie so much.
Is so good. I've seen it twice now, and it is a movie that refuses to die, right? Like, it's still, the soundtrack is still number one in some countries around the world.
People are still doing sing-along cinema. I didn't even know you did that. Yes. I'm going.
You're going? Really?
Yes, I am. I said this in an interview, and I think it was the Charles Theatre in London who said, oh my God, we'll give her tickets. And I thought, no, you know, I'll pay because I can do that. I'll pay. And I'll just sneak in when no one knows and sit and I'll see people sing along and do the hand gestures.
How fun.
I mean, the movie has made how much money around the world now?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Hundreds of millions. Here it is. I just looked it up.
Really? How much?
$434 million.
I would get my bonus now.
You get your bonus?
Did we just find out you got paid?
That was the line.
If it makes more than $500 million, we'll give you a bonus. Well, congratulations, Rebecca.
Thank you.
It is a wonderful movie. And Hugh Jackman.
And Hugh Jackman.
Oh, he's the best. I want him in everything.
He is so lovely. And actually, a little secret. I won't be anymore. I never travel anywhere without a backgammon set. So I have one actually here. Not
really?
In the studio, but yes. And he does too. So we both arrived set with our backgammon sets.
You're made for each
other. That's sort of weird.
Well, you know, Deborah's there and my partner's there.
Did you play each other?
All the time.
And who won?
I think I won. No, he's very good.
Uh-huh.
He's not listening.
No.
Say you won.
Say you won.
All right. So ping pong and backgammon. Wasn't expecting either of those. Anyway, I guess the point we're trying to make is you've done a lot of great work, and we're so happy to meet you. So before we go, let's give us the tease on Mission Impossible Fallout. People who don't know anything about it, why do they need to go see it this weekend, Rebecca?
There's a mission. Oh my God!
Oh my God!
I was just turning up the mic.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's good.
This is an intense thriller comedy, I want to say. There's a lot of laughs going on. There's a mission. The stakes are high. We are going vertical, horizontal, deep. It's scary. Tom Cruise is in it, everyone. And
what?
Henry Cavill, Angela Bassett, Vanessa Kirby, Rebecca Ferguson, Simon Pegg. Go and see it in theaters next to you the 27th of July.
I thought I liked it. You just threw your name in there with everyone else. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I know. I'm Michelle Monaghan.
Rebecca, you're awesome. Please come back and see us again. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
You guys remember the Rebecca Ferguson days?
She's
awesome.
Great was she?
Those were great days, man.
She is awesome.
I loved the show back then. When Rebecca was on it.
You mean
it was,
10 minutes ago?
Yeah,
I do.
Literally 10 minutes ago.
That's what I mean. It's humbling, though, when you realize in full color, in clear detail, you can see that your life peaked and it'll never be as good as it was then. That's where we're all at right
now. I see.
Those days are gone.
So we're
going to
remember
now.
Before Rebecca Ferguson and then after.
Okay. It's all downhill now
as
a result of Rebecca leaving. So
I like your optimism.
Enjoy the rest of your life, suckers. All right, Allie, time for one more What's Happening.
Can I cheer you up that we now have a premiere date?
I mean, you can try.
Well, we now have a premiere date for a show that's now back on CNBC, Deal or No Deal.
Yay!
It's back, premiering on Wednesday, December 5th. You guys.
Doesn't say why?
Yeah.
People demand it. They love a briefcase. They love a banker. And they love Howie Mandel. I've said it for years.
That's why it's on CNBC.
Deal or No Deal.
It is odd that they're so proud of it coming back. Oh, by the way, on CNBC.
What?
Really? Okay. And breaking news just handed to me, you guys. This is a real bummer. If you were looking forward to seeing... Okay.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
If you were looking forward...
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
All right, thank you. So the breaking news is this. Prophets of Rage, they're doing their summer tour, right, with Avenged Sevenfold?
Right.
Avenged Sevenfold is now canceling that tour because
The lead singer, M. Shadows, has received doctor's orders to rest his damaged vocal cords.
Uh-oh.
You guys.
That sucks.
What a real bummer. Remember, we had him in, and we had... Who in from Prophets of Rage? Who was in here?
I think Tom came in.
Tom was in here, yes. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the tour, how they couldn't wait. They were going to switch off of who was the headliner. They couldn't wait for the End of the World summer tour. Now, it's canceled. Right? So, the tour was scheduled to come to the Forum on August 22nd. Ticket refunds will be available at point of purchase. In a letter to fans, M. Shadows wrote, "After our European tour, I came down with a terrible viral infection that rendered me voiceless. A blood blister has formed on my vocal folds and is preventing them from vibrating properly. Luckily, doctors feel that 3 months of no singing and voice rest should get my cords back on track."
Wow.
I mean, that's a voice. To be rendered voiceless with that dude's voice?
I don't think you ever want a blood blister involved anywhere.
That sounds bad.
Especially on your vocal folds.
Yeah. I don't even like that
word. They're not vibrating properly.
Yeah.
Are we still talking about this?
I don't know.
Okay.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Sorry. Dan Harmon has left Twitter after a controversial video has resurfaced. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you talk about it yesterday?
No. Broke after the show yesterday.
All right. So he made a pilot. Here's what he says. "In 2009, I made a pilot which strove to parody the series Dexter and only succeeded in offending. I quickly realized the content was way too distasteful and took the video down immediately. Nobody should ever have to see what you saw, and for that, I sincerely apologize." So it was a video of him pretending to have sex with a baby doll.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Right.
He realized it was wrong, took it down long ago. It, of course, has resurfaced on 4chan because now that's what we do as a people.
Well, I hope we cancel Rick and Morty. I hope there's no more Rick and Morty.
We should cancel Adult Swim, right?
Absolutely.
If they could
you
have this
man
on.
You guys go straight to hell. You're not taking all of that.
There better not be any more Community reruns on my TV because Dan Harmon made a bad joke one time, so his show can't be seen. God damn it, this world we're living in.
It's pretty insane. It is pretty insane.
This is the witch hunt, Mr. President. This is the real witch hunt that's going on.
You think he's listening, Pete?
I don't.
Okay.
No collusion. Thank you. How was that, right? It was a pretty good,
really good
impersonation.
I mean, if you say one, if you make one bad joke that doesn't go over for everyone, then you shouldn't be allowed to work in show business anymore.
No, you should just be a politician because it's
how much longer do we have
to be? Anything goes in politics.
Look, you and I both have said things just as bad as all the things people are getting fired for. And we're not bad people. And we're coming in every day and trying to do the best job we can to entertain the people.
We're sort of bad.
And we could just as easily lose our jobs. You saw yesterday, Allie. They're going after Sarah Silverman for jokes. They're going after Patton Oswalt for jokes. They're trying to get all these people stripped.
Yeah.
Look, if you don't like somebody's sense of humor, don't laugh at it. There's lots of other people out there that are making comedy for you. There's always Jim Gaffigan, all right?
How dare you?
Jim Gaffigan's great, but I'm just saying he doesn't offend anybody.
Absolutely.
I'm saying if that's what you're looking for.
Listen, are pedophile jokes my favorite? No. Are rape jokes my favorite? No. But the people that are coming out and... dare I say, unveiling all of these horrible tweets from long ago, y'all supported Roy Moore, an actual pedophile. You all made up a completely bogus thing called Pizzagate. You got someone fired at. Was the person killed?
No, they were just shot at.
Just shot at. No big deal. In that pizza store that had no basement.
Right.
Like, what is... What?
Well said, Allie.
Thank you. This world is nuts. Also nuts, Cardi B getting free crap just because she raps about it. Now, if we want to be pissed at something, we get pissed at this. That Cardi B received a special gift from Chipotle in the form of a briefcase filled to the brim with free vouchers for chips and guac. All because she did a freestyle rap about wanting chips, guac, and queso in the J-Lo song Dinero. I mean, you guys, we got to start rapping. And we've got to start asking for things in this rap, and then we get a briefcase with free vouchers.
You lost me. We have to start rapping.
Yeah.
Is that on that?
It's just
yeah.
With the nuts.
Right.
some birthdays for you. Speaking of Jennifer Lopez, happy birthday to you. Linda Carter, TV's Wonder Woman. Gus Van Sant. What is your favorite Gus Van Sant movie? Good Will Hunting? Drugstore Cowboy?
I think Good Will Hunting is the only one I've seen.
My Own Private Idaho? No?
I think Good Will Hunting is the only one I've seen.
Elephant? Last Days? Just gonna keep naming.
I think Goodwill Hunting is the only one I've seen.
Oh. You got a pretty deep reservoir of Gus Van Sant movies at your fingertips there.
I'm impressed.
I really like him. He sat in front of me at what is that? Nope. Matt and Trey Parker, the musical that they do. The Mormon Missionaries.
She's not gonna quit, is she?
He sat right in front of me.
And how does that help the story about it as being his
He was
birthday?
Just so lovely and nice that it's just wonderful that he could celebrate his birthday. I'm real tired.
Well, I do not know what's happening right now.
Happy birthday, Kristen Chenoweth, Rose Byrne, Elizabeth Moss, and Lakers forward, Kyle Kuzma. That's what's happening.
Thank you, all of the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, comedian Ben Glebe, sweet James Bergener comes in for some legal advice.
Oh.
And we've got your tickets for the Kevin and Bean Built This Pool singles party tomorrow morning.